B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. Show 97.5, The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Well, you know, there's been a lot of conversation today about the thing we talked about yesterday, which is whether there is some kind of an anti-Carson conspiracy. And I use that word conspiracy. It's a strong word, and not a lot of people, like the word. So, what I will say is that it's not an outward conspiracy, but to me, it's a natural progression. Now, if we get inside this thing, there are two theories. One is that the Eagles, when they drafted Jalen Hurts, had already made the decision that they wanted a different look at quarterback. And they were trying to slide out of the selection of Carson as an over-the-top mistake, but a natural progression mistake. Like, it didn't work out, so they wanted to move on to something that was a little newer and in vogue in the NFL. And hence, that was why they drafted Hurts. And basically, they're saying, he's not ready to play yet, but in due time, he'll be ready to play. By that time, we can move Carson Wentz, and we still have value because he'll still be young and he'll still have the reputation as a franchise quarterback. Now, that's given him a lot of credit for thinking about the situation. And I don't mind that. I don't know if it's the right decision, but at least it shows a progression, forward thinking, that the organization is going to be better off if we go this way. And this is a matter of time for the fans to catch up to that and endorse it. And it's up to Jalen Hurts to actually make the fans endorse it, right? So that's giving them credit. And on the other hand, there is this this other thing that says they don't know what they're doing. So that's more troubling to me. Because if they took Jalen Hurts willy-nilly in the second round because of some kind of a quarterback capital type of rationale, then that's just stupid. If you take a quarterback with the second round and you still want Carson Wentz to be your quarterback throughout the years, then you're wasting, basically, a draft pick. So the question is whether you think, A, the Eagles are that stupid to do something like that, or B, whether it's a calculated move that they think is going to better the organization. And I would love to hear your thoughts on this whole thing, because I think I'm giving them credit for at least being smart. And I don't know why I'm doing that, but I can't imagine that they wouldn't see the limitations of wasting a second round pick on just a guy that you have absolutely no plans for other than what? To be a backup quarterback and a gadget man? That, to me, means you're stupid. So I'll go, all right, these guys have been in football for a really long time. They have football people in there. I'll go, they made a calculated decision that the league is going in a certain way. We need to catch up with the league, hence the drafting of Jalen Hurts, because at least he'll give us a chance to go that way, and it's just a matter of time whether he does it or not. They may believe in him a little more than we do, ability-wise, but that's on them. I'll give them a little credit for that. So, you know what's funny? I listened to Jim Schwartz today, and I listened to Doug Peterson yesterday. I can get some kind of an idea of where they're going and where their head is. For instance, yesterday, Doug Peterson, when asked about Carson Wentz, when asked a specific question on why is it that you think he's regressed, said, "That's a good question." Now, that's about as telling a quote as I've ever heard. Now, you may have heard that and not thought anything of it. But hear this. The A answer, when you're asked a question like that, is, well, I don't agree with that at all. He certainly hasn't regressed, and we got to clean a couple things up, but we still believe in Carson. That's the answer that a head coach would give who backs his quarterback. Instead, he said, and that's a good question. In other words, he acknowledged that he's regressing. Oh, now what coach on earth would do that unless there is something deeper behind the scenes? And again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist here. It's just to me logical to get a guy's reaction and to put it together with the whole circumstance of why Carson Wentz is not favored by this particular head coach. And I think if you're an Eagle fan, I would say that 90% of you agree with that, that this head coach is not tied at the hip with this quarterback. So there it is. There are two theories there, Tyra. I know where you think it's. We talked about this yesterday and introduced it. No. Is it a conspiracy? No. But here's the thing that you have to add to the equation. These guys are safe. They can afford to make a decision to cut away from Carson Wentz and go to Jalen Hurts in a couple of years. Is it sabotaging the team for the time being? Yeah, but they're not going anywhere. Their job's not at stake. Howie Roseman's job's not at stake. Doug Peterson's job's not at stake. They can blow off this year very easily. And the bigger picture is, well, we got brighter days ahead because we have this brilliant idea that's going to be hatched just quickly down the road.
Absolutely. And I think that I don't know what percentage of a role it plays in Carson's poor performance, but I can't say it plays no role. Could you imagine, Mike, you think you're the guy. They bring you into the building, and now all of a sudden they're raving about some other guy who's in the same position. There's no way that makes you feel confident. There's no way that doesn't shake you a little bit. And for all the people out there, and I'm sure they'll call, he's not tough. This doesn't happen in the NFL. This is something that's very unique. And I think that's where they don't know what they're doing, Mike. I think what they did was they thought, we'll do this, we'll say the right things, and Carson's a damn fool, and he'll believe it. He'll buy it, and there'll be no waves in the locker room, there'll be no waves in his psyche, there'll be no waves in the city, because we're smarter than everybody else. And that's where I think they miscalculated. So I agree with everything you said. I think they think, we're going to play this out with Carson. This guy's not ready. And then brighter days ahead because this is our quarterback. What they miscalculated is just how many problems can be caused when your starting quarterback's not the guy.
I have a question, Mike.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
Just on like an interpersonal relationship level between a quarterback and the head coach, don't you think if he doesn't, I don't know why he's regressing, wouldn't he have the opportunity to talk to him after that game and say, look, man, if he is that guy and they do have that sort of healthy relationship, why do you think that you can't get it together? Why are you regressing? Don't you think that would be a question that he would ask on a very personal level?
Maybe they had that conversation. I don't know. All I know is the way he's presenting himself publicly and that it's not my fault. It's not my fault. The guy's regressive. What do you want me to do? These guys are so passive aggressive. We're going to play Jim Schwartz today. He doubled down on passive aggressive. He said it's his fault that he buried everybody. These guys they can't take any responsibility. It's never their fault. So now listen, here's me. I don't have any skin in any game ever. Okay. If you know me through the years, I don't get close to anybody or I don't overly go to like I like this guy and therefore I can't see his flaws. I don't look at athletes like that. I look at athletes. I don't like anybody. I only like people when they perform. All right. And so I don't like, I'm not married to Carson Wentz either. If that's the thing that they look at and they say, we're better off with Jalen Hurts, I just got to trust them. I don't have any, you know, any skin in this game here. I can't change things for them. They change things themselves. So I'm trying to look at this completely objectively. And when you put things together, they to me have clearly gone away from the adoration of Carson Wentz. They've done it with their actions and their words. They did it by drafting Hurts in the first place. They did it by taking Ertz down this road. They did it by screwing up their offensive line and wasting time for 10 days to start the season with not knowing who the hell was going to protect their quarterback. Now, those three things alone, you think that that's a backing of their starting quarterback? It's not.
Absolutely not. And funny, Jason Peters gets an extra week of actual practice, and he plays way better week two. Who would have thunk if they had made the decision, like you just said, Mike, 10 days earlier, maybe the Washington debacle's not as bad because the big man has some practice at left tackle. But they're playing fast and loose with the offensive line. That tells you they don't give a damn about the quarterback, because nobody else would do that to the quarterback.
And listen, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. I don't know. Like, maybe they are doing the right thing here. Maybe Carson isn't the guy. But I want to know, as an Eagle fan, there are only two ways you can go here when it comes to this Carson Wentz thing. One is, you can clearly see that the organization, even though they're trying to hide it, is trying to distance themselves away from Carson Wentz. The other thing is, they're just stupid. Because Jalen Hurts then is a non-entity in anything they're doing. And they drafted him and used the second round pick. So you tell me what side of the fence you're on. All right. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show, and that's how you get in. And we'll have some good conversation today, and we'll talk about other things as well, including the Phillies. Also, Goodfellas is 30 years old this week. So in the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to do a little Goodfellas thing in addition to your phone calls. All right? It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. We're on radio only today. NBC Sports Philly has the Phillies doubleheader on. So spread the word that we are on radio for 4 hours. And I want to hear what you have to say about this quarterback situation. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, C21. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The 2 o'clock hour brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin Attention HVAC Contractors. Visit Ferguson's County location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. All right, let's start with the Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you're looking for a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe contactless pickup in Doylestown. Natalie Eganoff, what is today's poll?
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, do you think there is a disconnect between Carson Wentz and Eagles management? 72% say yes, 28% say no, early voting.
So, See, I thought it would be 90, but we may get up to that point. When a coach, when asked the question, you take any other coach in the NFL, the quarterback is the whole world to every coach in the NFL. The coach is asked the question, why do you think he's regressed? He says, that's a good question. What? I mean, seriously, when you heard that, did you not have a reaction that made you break out in hives? Who answers a question? Well, that's a good question. Acknowledging that he's regressed. Who wants to admit to the world that your starting quarterback, the guy that makes your whole team's engine go, is regressing?
Unless
you have no affection for him.
Exactly. Because when Rob Motti asked a very reasonable question about the Hurts situation, he gets him with a no and no. That would have been a time where Andy Reid or another type of coach would have said, has your quarterback regressed? No. Next.
Mm-hmm.
That was the time to do that. Have your quarterbacks back publicly, at least. Say whatever you want to him. He could be grilling them from sunup to sundown in private. But publicly, that was the time to have his back. And the fact that he didn't tells you all you need to know.
Totally.
He doesn't rock with the
guy. It totally does, because the answer, he's not real. Okay, I don't know what your judgment is. We don't think he's regressing. Even if you think he's regressing.
Couple bad throws. He'll shake it off.
Exactly.
We'll be fine next week.
Who says that's a good question?
A guy who doesn't like the quarterback.
Or he actually doesn't know, which I think is even indicative of the larger problem that you're talking about.
Yeah, he knows because he buried him on the play to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He buried his quarterback.
That's unacceptable.
Like, it was unacceptable.
Andy Reid never did that to 5-5 threw interceptions too. And
exactly.
You would never heard him say that.
But even as a teammate, like if I came in here every day and I was like falling asleep or something and someone was like, hey guys, what's wrong with Nat? You would come up with something to say something. You would at least know that something was wrong with me.
You'd
be like, I don't know what's wrong with him.
I would block him.
What do you mean?
I would block him. I'd be questioning my coworkers. So I block
right.
him. I would have blocked him. You're not getting no answer. I definitely won't get that's a good question. Why is Nat falling asleep?
Right.
Listen, it can only be one of two things. Seriously, either they're pulling away from him or the drafting of Jalen Hurts is an indication that they have no idea what they're doing. None.
I think it's both, Mike. They're pulling away.
I'm giving them credit for at least knowing what they're doing. If I go, okay, so in your eyes, the team and the franchise are going to be better off with a guy whose skill set of Jalen Hurts fits the league now. I go, okay, then I'll just have to wait and see on that. But to this point, I got to trust you. All right, let's go Donald in Lansdowne. Donald, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Donald.
Yeah, I believe that the same thing that's going on is the same thing that you're talking about. There's a disconnect between Peterson and Wentz. And I believe this started when he was losing games last year, games that we should have won. And not only that, but, you know, Peterson has an evaluation of all the players at the end of the season last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably had low grades on a lot of players. And this might turn out to be one of the best drafts that Harry Roseman has had. Because if you look at the draft picks and you look at the undrafted free agents we got, I think these guys will be ready and they'll rally around Jalen Hurts.
Mike, who? Who are you talking about?
I'm talking
Rager?
About... Right, Rager,
okay.
Hightower.
Hightower? How do you know from Hightower right now?
I'm just saying they'll be ready by the time Jalen Hurts is ready.
Yeah, maybe you're right, but you know, I think you're giving them a little too much praise for their draft picks when their track record has not been good on their drafts.
I believe he gave a low grade on most of the players last year. They knew exactly what they were going to do in the draft by drafting Jalen Hurts, and I believe that the Eagles are going to be sellers when the trade deadline comes up. I'm looking at Ertz, I'm looking at Cox, and maybe a running back, either Boston Scott or Corey Clement.
No, they're not going to do that this year. They'll do it in the offseason. They're not going to do it in the middle of the season.
So
this is not
traded.
Like baseball. They don't do those trades in football.
Well, he wants draft picks for next year.
They can do that in the offseason when they know what draft position everybody's in. You don't do it now because you never know where that draft position is going to be.
Well, if I had three first-round picks, I'm going after the linebacker from Penn State, the tight end from Penn State, and maybe go after Jalen Waddle in the first round.
You're going Penn State.
Those are my first three.
You're going Penn State all the way, huh?
Penn State, the tight end, the linebacker. That's, you know, because I don't think Ertz is going to be on the team next year.
No, he's not. Ertz will be traded. And it is possible that I think they're going to wait 2 years on Wentz, but they may pull the trigger on him. Cox, that's an interesting situation because by the end of the year, people might be looking at him like, not the same dude. So I don't know what his value will be. So he's talking about Micah Parsons, the linebacker.
Yeah.
And the tight end is a pretty good tight end. What's his name?
Oh, I forget his name. I know who you're talking about.
He decided to come back.
Yeah, yeah.
And he could have gone into the draft.
Yeah, the he came back, and the Ohio State corner came back. A few players.
Freiermuth.
Well, that's one thing, but I don't think they're going to draft. I think this is the switch to 11, back to 11 personnel, and they go three wide more. I think the double tight stops. They're doing it probably too much. They're doing it like twice as much as anybody else so far this year
because
they don't trust the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that whoever the quarterback is, once Ertz is gone, Goddard's the main, you just find another. You mean you hope to draft a guy that's decent, but I don't think they draft another tight end high.
Yeah.
I think they may end up, they probably have to draft a linebacker at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Since if you're not going to pay them, then you have to draft well and then churn them.
Yeah.
And every 4 years you get a new one. But they don't do either. They don't draft them. Well, they drafted one, but they don't play the ones they draft.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't pay them. You know, the third round pick would be nice if he could play, you know, get a snap.
Yeah, it would be nice. What unsigned free agents is he? The non-drafted free agents that he's talking about.
I don't know.
Successful.
Herbig? Herbig from last year.
Yeah, that's last year. What this year's unsigned free agents we talk about?
I don't know. I don't know what he was talking about when it comes to that. And maybe this draft turns out because I think Rager's going to eventually be a good player. But I don't know about the rest of them. The second round quarterback might stink. Like we're saying, Wentz stinks now. We all have acknowledged Wentz's stink. We don't know if Hurts is going to be good. I can't just round it off to all right, we're good with Hurts. I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't know it either. That's what I'm saying. We have to trust their view of that whole situation. We can't change the circumstance, and we can't change their view either. Because, frankly, I don't know either if Jalen Hurts is going to pan out like these nouveau quarterbacks that are playing well in the league.
And the third round pick, again, doesn't play. So I don't know if he's ever going to be an impact linebacker.
Yeah.
Hightower, I don't know if he can play.
Yeah, I don't know about Hightower yet. All right, let's go Matt in Ontario. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Matt?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
What's going on, Matt?
Well, not too much. Anyways, I just wanted to bring up 2 points really quickly. And one is going to be about Wentz, and one is about, answer your question, A or B, are the Eagles smart or stupid for drafting Jalen Hurts? So I think the sky feels like it's falling right now for all of us. But I just want to take a look at some things I think we're just forgetting about. And when I watch this game and I look who plays in front of Wentz, every game he's got no O-line, he's got no receivers. I don't know what kind of quarterback you're sticking in there and think they're going to have a great season, with the kind of players the Eagles have in front of them. And I'm not really sure. I mean,
you know, there comes a point in time, though, with all due respect, Matt, that you can't blame everybody else. And the guy has been, we had a stat yesterday where like 15 of the 20 passes where he was high, 15 in the pocket were he was clear in the pocket.
I know, and that's shock, and that's on him. But like, I'm not sure what's going on in his head this year. But I think there's something. Hopefully this is an anomaly. I want to put it in that it's a 2020. Everything is messed up this year. I don't know. Like, I'm not ready to write this guy. I'm not ready to.
Well,
write
you
this
might
guy
not
off.
Be, but that's
I'm
not really the, that's not really the issue. Whether you're ready to write him off, because I may not be either. I'm saying, does it look to you like they're writing him off? Let's take what the coach said yesterday. The question was, how come your quarterback has regressed in this fifth year? The answer, that's a good question. Now, does that sound like a guy who's backing the quarterback?
It doesn't, but I also don't think Doug's like really that great in press conferences. Like you said, he doesn't. I don't even know if he's that great at thinking before he speaks. Like,
well that's disconcerting.
But again, you're right. It was shocking. It was shocking. Like, it just like everyone.
Is that
else,
a hard question? Like Matt from Ontario is the head coach, and I ask you that question. Is it a hard question to answer? The way a coach should answer it.
I'm even if I believe it, I'm not acknowledging.
Well, exactly.
That I believe that.
So he must think the guy's regressing. He must not be backing the guy. It's only logical.
Okay,
Yeah, and real quick on my second point, which is the reason why I called in today. When you say, A, are the Eagles smart for drafting Jalen Hurts, B, are they stupid? Mm-hmm. I really want to go, B, they're stupid. I just look at all of their drafting, our track record for drafting, and before this season, you knew you were going to have offensive line holes you needed to fill. You had no linebacker. Mm-hmm. There were way, so much other, even receivers, another receiver. You didn't need Jalen Hurts.
Let me ask you this question regarding coach, because I think you were trying to back the coach. The coach, when they drafted Jalen Hurts, do you remember his reaction?
Oh, I do, and I couldn't understand either. I wanted to
Now take it another step. The guy does a cartwheel when he drafts Jalen Hurts. Why? Because he wanted a guy who could play two downs a game?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. I do think that they're trying to maybe reinvent the game.
They are trying to reinvent it. They're trying to reinvent it with Jalen Hurts. Now, why would a head coach be gleeful at the notion of a quarterback being drafted with the second pick? It's not going to help him win. It's not going to help him win. It only helps him win if he's the starter.
Oh, I have that regressed audio if you want to play it, Mike, from yesterday.
All right, so the people that didn't hear what we're talking about here. All right, I want to make you the head coach, and this is the question to you.
You know, it's a good question. You know, for us, it's a matter of continuing to work, I think as coaches and players, we continue to strive to get better every single day. You know, I just don't want Carson to feel like he has to make all the plays every single time. I just want him to just be Carson, you know, and you guys know him. You've been around him. You've heard him. You know, his demeanor is he wants to do everything right. And we've given him control to do that. But we just got to continue to work to get better. And I don't think anybody can totally master the sport. You're constantly learning and getting better. And that's what we got to do and continue to coach that.
That's a non-answer answer. Okay. So the answer was, why has he regressed? He hasn't regressed. What are you talking about? Yeah. You know, we got to button up some things. He's our quarterback. We love him. Non-answer answer. And then he implies, well, we've done everything for the guy. My God, we've done everything for the guy. We bring him food at night. We send him shirts from Nordstrom's.
Why does he say we don't want him to feel like he has to make all the plays?
It's a babbling non-answer answer. But the important part is not what he said after. It's what he said. That's a good question. That's all you have to hear. The question comes in. Why is he? That's a good question. You don't acknowledge that he's regressed. You're your head coach, for crying out loud.
But if you want to get it, things have not gone well PR-wise so far with the Eagles. Uh-huh. If you want to get back into good graces in the PR, you let Wentz take all the heat. Yeah, that's a good question, man. You know, we're doing everything we can do.
That's what he said.
He's not performing. Yeah, and then people buy, see? Yeah. And these people are already mad at him. They're already, some people have been mad at him since the Super Bowl. Some people are newly mad at him because of his own performance. But the city's mad at him. And rather than throw him a life jacket, you throw him a rock. You throw him a boulder when you say that. Because now there's people who are already down on him. They get double down on him because they say, see, that's what I've been saying. He stinks. Coach stinks it too. Like, are they not aware that when they say those things, it has a ripple effect on the person that they're talking about?
I don't think they do.
And that's why I think it's both, Mike. I think they were looking ahead to the future of a quarterback. And maybe Wentz does stink. And maybe Hurts is great. But at the same time, I think they bungled the handling of it and don't know how to get out of it.
Well, like I said, I'm giving him credit for being at least forward thinking. And I can, like, see, knowing Howie Roseman and knowing that he would be the type of guy who would welcome the new toy and say to himself, well, we got to get with the new style of the league. And in his head. And so here comes the Hurts thing. And on top of that, the head coach goes gaga when they make the pick. That is telling me they're at least forward thinking that they want to make a transition. And I don't think that was just a mindless dope ass pick with the second pick in the draft.
I agree with that.
All right. So now it's just a matter of seeing whether they're right. And I can't bury them that they're wrong. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm not burying, because they could be right. Maybe within 2 years, Jalen Hurts takes over. You got the nouveau quarterback. The offense is supercharged. Blah, blah, blah. All I can tell you right now is it looks to me clearly that they're transitioning away from number 11. All right, Frankie in Roxborough, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frankie.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Frank?
Long time no talk.
What's going on, buddy?
I got another theory.
Yo, you gotta calm down that wolf you have in the background there, Holmes.
Yeah, she's
well, we can't have a conversation with the dog barking like that.
All right, well,
you gotta put that dog outside or something. What do you got? You got Cujo over there? Come on.
Yeah, she's a half Chihuahua and Dachshund.
Half Chihuahua Dachshund. What? Does she have a voice transplant?
No, she's just got a.
My God.
Go ahead
with your call.
My theory is that I think they're not telling the whole truth about Wentz. I think he's not the same ever since he messed up his back. Okay. Mike, you know that when you have a back injury and you're an athlete, mm-hmm. it looks to me, even when he's passing good, the ball doesn't seem like it's coming out of his hand right to me.
So you're saying that's why they would draft Hurts, because the back situation they were afraid of.
Yes, and they're not telling the whole story. Okay. And you know yourself, Mike, look at Tony Romo. He was never the same. Look at
Tony Romo was old though. When he had the back problem. Carson Wentz is a hardy athlete who's had plenty of time to rehab that.
Yeah, but Mike, I don't know. It happens to golfers. It happens to baseball.
Happens to them when they're older.
I don't know, Mike. When you get injured, it's the back is tough.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Then if that's the case, but still, the question is, even if they're trying to hide the back thing, why would he say, when asked the question, why has he regressed? And he goes, that's a good question. Because there are so many other ways to answer that. Even if you know the guy's bothered by his back, you don't answer it like that.
Because it's the truth. He is regressing.
Okay. Well, that's not what you say. You're not supposed to say something like that.
I know. Well, he did.
All right. You got it, buddy. I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's the back. They paid him after the back, right?
Yeah, so that's
they weren't afraid of it back then.
That's why I don't buy it. Mm-hmm. Or if it is, once again, it's both, Mike. They were looking ahead, but they also don't know what the hell they're doing. Because you don't pay him if his back's permanently damaged.
Yeah.
So why did you pay him?
I think that they paid him knowing that within 3 years, 4 years, his contract would be almost a bargain. Yeah. The way franchise quarterback prices have gone up, they thought that there's no skin off our nose here. We can do the right thing, and also we're going to have a bargain if it doesn't work out with him.
Yeah, but if his back's damaged, you don't pay
him. Well, yeah, it's true. So that's why I don't think the back is.
I don't think it is. I think he just hasn't been playing well, and I think that they have parted ways with him, period. And we're not the only ones that notice that. I'm interested in what Bo Wolf will say later on.
Yeah, we have Bo Wolf, who covers the Eagles for The Athletic. And last time we brought Bo up is when the head coach snapped at him.
Over nothing. Yeah.
Over nothing. That's correct. All right, in the 3 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Bo Wolf at 3:30. So in the 3 o'clock hour, in honor of Goodfellas being the 30th year anniversary of the movie Goodfellas, here's what I'm going to do to the callers if you want to play along. I'm going to give you a quote from the movie Goodfellas. You have to tell me the scene. All right?
That's a good one.
All right. So the scene is what's important, because everybody knows.
Oh, I won't see him no more.
Yeah. everybody knows the quotes, but you got to attach the quote to the scene if you've seen the movie as many times as I have.
It's a good one.
This is a good one.
Yeah, this is great.
610-632-0975. And don't forget, at 4 o'clock, we'll continue our Fanatic Football Pool, where you can win some really great prizes. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All righty, it's 2:46 on the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. A little later, I don't know whether it's important to bring this up today or tomorrow when we have a little more time. But the I know, Tyrone, you're not a fan of Jason Whitlock. And frankly, there's something I think that's really disturbed about that guy. But in any event, he has this feud going with this Katie Nolan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I know, Nat, you would like to speak on that.
I would like to rip into him.
Yeah, a little later on the show. It's an interesting discussion. You can, like, see his agenda, but the topic is fairly interesting. So if we get time, we'll get into that as well. Let's go to Bill in Fishtown. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, Bill? How you doing?
So, if I remember correctly, when Jalen Hurts was drafted, this was put out there that he was, you know, the organization and Doug were kind of maybe moving away from Carson, and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with drafting a guy when you have your quarterback already. Mm-hmm. My thing is Carson is definitely showing some regression, but Doug has regressed more.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about regression, and I don't. You know, I think they're more in a stormy sea, and they don't know where they're going. And you know, ever since Frank Reich and Flip left, Doug has been just dingy out there, just floating around, and he doesn't know, you know, from one day to the next what's happening.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
The management doesn't think he's regressed. It's clear the management is firmly behind Doug Peterson and this master plan that they have. So whether he's regressed or not, it's irrelevant.
Well, after the whole Chip Kelly fiasco, Jeffrey Lurie has to back him, or he'd look really stupid if he came out against Doug. And I'm not saying Doug should, you know, I'm not saying his job should be in the line or anything like that. I'm not at that point yet. But I'm definitely not up on giving up on Carson yet. And what I'm wondering is how long of a leash does Doug give him before he wants to pull the plug or management wants to pull the plug?
It's interesting that if the Eagles are 2-6 and slogging along and no chance for the playoffs, they may play him. Like I said, they have protection. They're not going anywhere. Harry Roseman is not going anywhere. They have time to see this thing through if that's what their plan is.
Right. Right.
So they're in no danger of losing their job. So what do they care? The people that will suffer will be the fans. But what do they care? They're still got their job. They got their paycheck. This is a weird season. There's no fans. If there's ever a year that they could do this and sit there while this plan bubbles up, it's this year.
Right. I mean, you know, I always thought that Doug was going to, you know, eventually had that moment with Carson where he gives up, you know, whether it was injury, whether it's regression, whether it was not being on the same page as far as, you know, which way they want to run the offense. But I'm more interested in your Goodfellas quote, Mike.
Yeah, well, we're not going to do that yet, though. Sorry.
Oh, broke my heart.
We're going to do it at 3 o'clock out, but since you asked for it, all right, I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you a quote. You've got to give me the scene. All right?
All right.
All right. I want what I got to get. I got mouths to feed.
Oh, Billy Bat at the bar.
All right. All right. So that was an easy one. That's a nice job. I want to, well, he said it in a drone. I want what I got. I got mouse of feet. So that was an easy one.
That was right? Cool.
He gave me the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go Josh and Conshohocken. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Hey, Mike, Tyrone, Natalie, how you guys doing today?
What's up, Josh?
Frustrated, but I'm going to make it quick and then just would like your opinions. If you get a chance, go through our draft class from, I went 2012 on, but we'll go 2014 on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many misses that the only consistency in our draft classes were that guys we drafted were out of the league completely within a year, year and a half of being drafted on our team. We barely hit on one player every draft class since like 2012. 2013 and 2012, we had Fletcher Cox, Zach Ertz, Lane Johnson. At the end of the day, it's poor drafting, poor salary cap management, how he needs to go, get his pass revoked to the draft room. And I'm not giving Carson any type of break. I don't care what he has around him. What do we got to fly in Mike Trout every game and put him in the corner so he can run footballs over to him? I'm done, man. Got to get this together quick. Or we're going to Hurts. Have a good one.
All right. Yeah, he's not clearly not ready to play yet. He probably isn't ready to play after game 8 when they're 2-6 either. But like I said, and by playing them, they would devalue Wentz anyway. So I don't think that that's going to happen this year. If they lift Wentz, they completely devalue him.
Yeah.
If they play him, he could have a couple of good games, even though they don't make the playoffs. And then in the offseason, okay, this is just a miscast franchise quarterback who needs a change of scenery, like Tannehill. So at that point, you still have value with the guy. They're not going to have value with the guy. They'd take him out.
Yeah, I agree. Same thing happened with Jay Cutler when he left Denver, goes to Chicago. He didn't work out, but Chicago thought, okay, we'll play defense, we'll coach him differently, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure there'll be somebody out there who would take him.
Yeah.
But you can't play Hurts. And then what happens if you simplify the offense, blah, 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 and then Hurts has success? Mm-hmm. Then it just says, see, Carson really stinks. Hurts is great.
Yeah. News out of Notre Dame. South Bend, Indiana, they canceled practice today due to 4 positive COVID tests, and they were set to play Wake Forest Saturday, so I don't know if that game will still go off. But I'm perplexed because I'm hearing people all over Twitter with little videos and YouTube that people go out because God's going to protect them from COVID. Does this not apply to the Catholic God part of it? Like, you know, touchdown Jesus, you know, can't give that kind of protection? You know, is this only a Baptist or Pentecostal God that works this?
Well, actually, you know, before the season started, Notre Dame had the fewest positive tests in the country.
Yeah.
But I think that you can push your luck a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
They might still play. 4 would not be enough. But now they have to pause practice and do the test. And this is the tough part. And this is where the Big Ten, I think, were smart. Those 15-minute tests have not arrived yet. So all these current teams that are doing it have to do it the conventional long way. The good thing about what the Big Ten did do was by the time they start practices officially, they'll have the 15-minute rapid test to prevent it. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's been playing so far, and the SEC starts Saturday.
Yeah.
They're just without a net still. Those tests that have been developed, none of the schools have them yet, and they will not have them until October 1. So this could be 4 could just be the start. It could be 40.
Yeah, all right, well.
It could be 40.
I remember that Brian Kelly chirping about how safe it was to play.
Mm-hmm. Could be 40 players. They don't know yet.
3 o'clock hours ahead. All right, you Goodfellas fans, if you want a Goodfellas quote, I'll give you the quote. You got to give me the scene. And at 3 o'clock hours, since they turned 30, and there's going to be this this thing on Reels on Sunday, I believe, where all the guys sit down and talk about the experiences of doing the movie. Sunday night, I think. All right, it's the Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour up next.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It is the 3 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. The 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie, hoagie, party, cheese, every bit is good. 3:30, we'll talk to the man who covers the Eagles for the Athletic, Bo Wolf. Bo and I used to play basketball against each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know.
Those pickup games at the Palestra, media pickup games. Bo?
Yeah.
Bo used to work for the Eagles.
And he can hoop a little bit?
Yeah. All right. Nice little player.
All right,
we'll talk to him at 3:30. And we start our Goodfellas thing in honor of the 30th anniversary. If you want a Goodfellas question, just let me know. And at the end, I give you a quote. You give me the scene. And in the meantime, we had this raging conversation about where Carson Wentz stands in the Eagles organization right now. And the coach yesterday asked a simple question. Why do you think he's regressed? Oh, that's a good question, he says.
Ooh. You know, it's a good question.
It's a good question. Not sure that's the appropriate answer a head coach should give if he really is backing his quarterback and his QB is the be-all and end-all of his team, which normally is the case with head coaches. So let's go back to the phone. By the way, on the God thing with the Notre Dame, I just want to make everybody clear. I'm a big fan of God, all right? I'm a big fan of God, but I'm not so sure that God is up there exerting his power to prevent us all from getting COVID since 200,000 people have died in America. And God's out. God gives you the free will.
Free will plays
yeah. Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Free will.
But I just want to make sure people know I'm a big fan of God.
Yes. God has provided us, if you believe in God, with mm-hmm. a blueprint to help avoid the virus.
Correct.
We can either follow that playbook mm-hmm. that we now are aware of, or we cannot follow it. It's up to us now to choose whether or not to do so.
Yeah. In fact, I'd like to wear, if somebody can make this for me, I'd like to wear a red hat that says God on it.
Okay.
It's got to be red hat. I would like red hat that says God.
God. That's a good one. I saw this.
It doesn't have to be big. Just small stitching.
I saw this meme the other day and it said, what if after all this time, God comes down and says, guys, it's been Jod all around. We've been pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like the GIF.
I get it.
Thing.
I get it. But I would insist on the capital G.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a small G. Not lowercase G. Okay, let's go Keith in L.A. Keith, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Keith.
Hey, this Carson Wentz topic is a hot button for me. I'm a big Wentz fan, and I just think that the you guys kicking this narrative down the can, the examples that you're citing are somewhat reckless. Number one, I'll give you Goff for Wentz straight up today. And the fact that you think after one game that Goff is better than Wentz is just comical to me because, number one, why do you think they ran so many boots and screens
for golf? First of all, that's not even the topic we're talking about today. Whether golf is better than Wentz is immaterial. What I'm saying is the organization does not seem to be firmly behind their starting quarterback.
Okay, so
why would they draft another guy in the second round last year if they were firmly behind their quarterback?
Okay, so you can no longer call in and talk about
but that's not the way you started your conversation. You said my comments about the Eagles distancing themselves from Carson were reckless, and then you throw Goff at me, which has nothing to do with anything.
Okay, well, I said this narrative. Okay, number one. Okay, I'll get to that since you want that. The question was to Doug Peterson, why are you seeing his production regress? Well, he told the truth. His production has regressed. Everybody sees it. If he had said, well, you know, his production hasn't regressed or whatever, people would say he's lying.
No,
so he told the truth.
Let me ask you a question, Keith. Be real. What head coach would permit the narrative from a reporter that his starting quarterback is regressing? Whether he believes it or not, what quarterback would say it? What coach would say it? Nobody would say it. And if you add that to the other thing, the drafting of Hurts, the Ertz no contract, the offensive line thing, and then the question yesterday, why is he regressing? What do you think, that they're firmly behind the guy?
Did you hear the question that was asked to Tom Brady's coach?
I don't care about Tom Brady. I deal with this. Why do you go in other quarterback? Goff, Tom Brady, I don't care.
You made an example. You said no other coach would do that. And I'm telling you, that's not true.
But Bruce Arians could say that, and nobody would pay attention to it because he's the best quarterback who ever lived. It's different than a guy who's struggling to hold on to a job, and nobody drafted a quarterback to take Tom Brady's place.
Okay, but still, another coach would say that. Number two.
So far, your call is ridiculous, but I'll give you another chance. Go ahead.
I think the narrative that you guys are kicking down the road is ridiculous because...
I just gave you four facts that would support my stance. You choose to ignore them, and you want to talk about Jared Goff. Where are you coming from?
Okay, now you're going back to Goff. I've moved beyond Goff.
And I've moved beyond you. James on a cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. James. What's up, James? Oh, James. James, call evaporated. Ariello in Tampa. What's up, Ariello?
Oh, wait a minute. I'm on the radio.
What?
Hello?
Hello, Ariello. Hello? How's it going, buddy? You're on.
Aurelio.
Aurelio, what's up, buddy?
Not too bad. I like your topic today. Have you thought about that? Maybe Peterson is worried about his job.
Nope.
And he's going to start.
Nope.
No,
not worried about his job at all. That's what actually fuels this whole thing, this transition. He's not worried about his job. If he was, he would support this quarterback. He's transitioning to another guy already.
Well, maybe he's frustrated because, as we all know, Wentz is stubborn as heck. It took him forever to stop, telling him. Took a couple years to tell him slide, and stop playing so reckless.
I'm sure he's for whatever reason it is. It's his choice to be frustrated. All I'm saying is he is. And this organization looks clear to me that they're moving on to the other guy they drafted last year in the second round. Mentally, they've moved on to that concept.
Yeah, he has regressed, and I just think that Peterson is worried about getting fired this year. He said, I'm going to throw him under the bus.
Listen, Jalen Hurts isn't going to save his job. He's not going to play him this year.
Yeah, well, maybe Peterson is going to lose his job anyways. He's a writing on the wall. He said, look, I'm not going to take this secret with me. Wentz is stubborn. Look at it. How many times do we tell him, throw the ball away, throw the ball away, throw the ball away? And he says, I'm going to play the way I play. That's how I am. He doesn't want to change.
Okay, but why is he going to lose his job?
Because
he can be frustrated with his quarterback. If he's frustrated with his quarterback, so is the front office. So they're not why would they fire a guy who is frustrated just like they are?
Because it's either Peterson or Wentz, and they're probably going to keep the franchise quarterback. And Peterson needs to make a living. He's got a mortgage to pay, and he said,
I haven't connected the dots, though. Why would they fire Peterson, and why would he be worried about his job by not backing the quarterback?
We're 0-2, and probably not going anywhere this year again. Fans are going to be pissed off. They are pissed off.
Let me ask you this way. How is he trying to save his job?
He probably sees that he's going to get fired and say, well, I'm at least put Wentz's name out there a couple of times because I'm tired.
So he's going to get fired and try to put it out there that it's not his fault?
Not completely his fault. He had a stubborn quarterback that doesn't want to
leave. All right. Listen, he won a Super Bowl 2017. They're not going to fire him. Okay? They're not firing the quarterback because they're all part of the same plan. The general manager drafted Jalen Hurts. The coach embraced it by jumping in the air like Mary Tyler Moore.
You're going to make it after all.
That's exactly right. she jumped in the air. That was Doug Peterson. Yeah. That's they drafted Hurts.
Threw his hat.
Exactly.
I'm Coach Peterson.
Right. So they're in
he's
this.
He's frozen.
They're cemented. They're welded to this concept. He's not going anywhere. Neither is the general manager.
Yeah. He's just, what they're doing is now they have a sacrificial lamb for any problem.
Right.
Oh, and you lost? Oh, the quarterback, he's got to make some throws there.
Right.
That's why we lost. It wasn't me or the drafting. It was the quarterback who stinks.
In fact, It extends their life.
Yep, because now young quarterback.
They got transitioned out of a new whole thing.
Yep.
It extends their life. Jeffrey goes, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. All right, need time. I guess you need time to root that. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys.
Got a young tight, you know, Goddard, this is his first year as a number one tight end. Exactly. Ertz is gone. We don't have Malcolm. Hey, we're transitioning on defense to some. We got a young team. You know, we got to help these guys grow. We need time.
Exactly,
we got to help.
Man.
We got to get this rooted.
These guys ain't fooling nobody.
They're fooling some people. They're not fooling you.
Well, maybe they are. They're not fooling us.
The Mike Mussinelli show has got this peg. But other people, what are you talking about, Mike? It's just crazy. Of course.
Listen, if you think it's crazy, put it all together. And let's start with the drafting of Hurts and the Mary Tyler Moore reaction. And now let's move on to the Hurts thing. Oh, they're ready to move on from him. That's not helping the quarterback when the guy's got a sour butt. And the offensive line, they had to like pull teeth to get it right, wasting 10 days. That's not helping the quarterback. And then yesterday, the coach comes out and he says, that's a good question.
You know, it's a good question.
what am I, nuts? Put it all together. What puzzle comes up for you when you put those pieces together?
They don't want. They don't rock with Carson. They don't like Carson.
Exactly. All right, let's go to James on the cell. James, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. James.
Hey, how you guys doing? You
hear
me right?
What's going on, James? How you doing?
Not much. A couple quick points. First, I was going to ask you guys, you agree that this game is awful to watch. Obviously, 8 sacks. That's the worst thing. If you like offense, that's the worst thing, watch your team get sacked over and over. And also, over the last couple of years, you know who's regressed? It's a little bit the coaching, too. Like, the team was exciting when Frank Reich was calling the plays. He's the guy who won us that Super Bowl, if you think about it. I mean, do you agree that...
Frank Reich ain't walking through that door anymore, and I'm tired of using the Frank Reich thing. I can't do it anymore. I can't. Like, come on. What's he the only coach on earth? They assemble a staff. Like, what are they supposed to do? He leaves, they crumble?
No, this
head coach is the offensive guy who wanted to call plays.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just a different looking team, you know? It just really looks different. There's exciting cross field, deep drop plays, you know? Carson
yeah, I think the coach has been terrible this year. But you know, you listen to him and everything's okay with him. It's everybody else that's messing up.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I'm just saying, play calling is like 35% of an offensive success. I mean, it is what it is. It's a lot bigger deal than people realize.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other thing I was going to say, the guy mentioned the injury, that back injury. I had very similar injury in high school. I played 3 years in college.
Oh, good for you.
You can come back from that injury. I mean, it's just like, I know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe it is that. I don't know. Well, all I'm saying is that they haven't backed the guy, and I can tell why they're not backing the guy. I think they're ready to move into a new direction. I mean, let's listen, Tyrone. Do we have these? First of all, these coaches don't take responsibility, okay? They can say all they want about, I got to do a better job. But if you listen to the way they phrase things, they're not taking any responsibility. And Schwartz was the same way today. Do we have the Schwartz thing where he goes, he took on McLeod, Brandon Graham, and who else? Somebody else today. And then after the fact, he goes, well, that means I'm not doing a good job, which is the most passive-aggressive thing anybody could say. It's like he puts the onus on the players, and then after the fact, he goes, well, you know, that means it's on me. Come on. What, I fall off a tree? Did we have that?
I got a bunch of cuts. I'm trying to see which one is...
Yeah, he talked about Graham today. He missed this play, and I love Brandon Graham, but he missed this play. And Ryan McLeod missed this, and you know these veteran players are missing basic plays. And then he goes, "So that must mean it's my fault." Now, that's the most passive aggressive thing you could possibly say.
Yeah, give me a second. Let me make sure I got
it. All right, let's go, Laura in Rockledge. Laura, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Laura?
Oh, Mikey, miss.
Hello, Laura.
How is everybody?
We're peachy.
Yeah, right. Like peach ice cream. So is nobody going to listen to me now? Everybody still wants to boo-hoo me on, like, there's never a fan of Wentz. He's not that good, people. What don't you understand? He's not good. He's not smart enough. He might be a nice guy and all that jazz, but he's not that good. And regardless of injuries, regardless of anything, he's just not that good.
Well, he was good earlier in his career. So, like, you know, you might be right. I don't know if he's good or not at this point. So
He's a scared Midland quarterback.
All right. So,
he's
in other words, then, you appreciate the stance that the organization's taken by not really cementing and having his back.
Well, yes and no on that one.
Okay.
I don't think they should just throw him under the bus. That's for sure. I think that's a crappy thing for them to do.
Okay.
Here's the other problem. I don't think Doug Peterson is that intelligent either.
Okay.
Truth be told, I mean, you know, we don't have room on our teams for not, you know, intelligent people. Being a nice guy and being all that jazz, that's all well and good, but that's not winning games.
But he has emotional intelligence.
Yeah, well, and here's the other problem. You know, you can't come at all this emotionally. You need to have rational thinking in this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's...
I think they're thinking very rationally. I think their plan to move on to another quarterback is a very rational thought. Now, I don't know if they're right.
Why are we waiting 2 years for that? And we don't even know what this guy can do. I mean, this was the same hype that they gave Carson when we, you know.
No, they gave Carson more hype because they traded all the way up to get him and took him with the second pick in the draft. So that's way hype. They took this guy in the second round thinking they uncovered a gem.
Yeah, well, I think they thought they uncovered a gem with Carson, too, and look where that got us.
Well, it didn't work.
Yeah.
So now they're making a transition here, and they're just not telling you about it. But well, I could see the transition very clearly.
Exactly. They don't need to tell me. The writing's on the wall. I mean, I have eyeballs, you know.
All right, Laura. Question was, isn't that thinking? I don't know if he is at this point either. I thought he was going to be a good quarterback. You know, I saw him do things early in his career. I thought he was going to be a good quarterback. The injuries, maybe the injuries are taking its toll. I don't know. He's not a good quarterback right now. That doesn't mean he can't come off the map and be a good quarterback. But I really think that they look at it like we can do better elsewhere with this other guy. I think that's in the back of their mind. Otherwise, they would have taken him. It doesn't make any sense at all to take Jalen Hurts unless you have a master plan for the guy.
Also, fans that brag, I knew he stunk. Fine, but a lot of them don't recognize that they're kind of rooting against their own team, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they're rooting against their own team to be right.
Yeah.
See? I told you he stunk. And then they're like internally happy. There's something twisted about that.
Yeah.
See, I told you. I don't know if that's
the majority. I mean, that's Laura from Rockledge. I don't know if it's the majority.
There's some people that work here doing the same thing.
Well.
Yep.
There's people that work here who do the same thing. Like, it's a thing. There are also people in the media who write for newspapers who are doing the same thing. And they're not doing it to be, quote, unbiased. They're doing it to be right about their initial prediction.
Yeah.
See? I told you. Even though you guys are all miserable, I'm smart.
This is why I don't like anybody. Right? I like you when you show something. And the reason why I like Carson Wentz is not because he was Carson Wentz and he was this guy from North Dakota who was, you know, kind of like innocent and all that. I liked him because he looked like he showed some promise. Well, now I don't like him. And it doesn't matter what his personality is. It doesn't matter where he's from. I don't like him at this particular time.
Well, and statistically, he was showing promise. So the idea that he wasn't good is just wrong.
Yeah.
There's statistics. You can Google them.
Right.
It's not that hard.
Franchise record for yards last year, for example.
Playing with pizza delivery guys?
Mm-hmm. Right, set the franchise.
Seriously.
That's something.
Right.
So that's why I still think he can play football. He has not played football well so far this year, though. So I cannot pretend like I'm basing that on something I've seen in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I have to base this on stuff that happened in 2019.
Yeah. All right, let's go Eli in Jersey. What's up, Eli?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing, Eli?
Hey, man, I kind of agree with you guys on the last topic you were talking about because I feel like there's no positivity coming in. It's strictly everybody coming in talking about Wentz this, Wentz that. I'm a big Wentz fan. My thing that I wanted to talk about is I feel like the mentality, I feel like the whole thing is a regression because even when you look at the games on the field, on the sidelines, nobody's talking or hyping up anything. when I watched the last game, the commentators kept saying, like, there's no energy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a big part of it. But all the things that happened before the season is also mentally bothering Wentz. I think he's amazing. What we've seen so far is not that good, but he still shows certain skills. And I think we still have a good, even though we got two more years, I think we have somebody that could really push it. But what weapons do we have as well? We have some, but it's not like the weapons we had, you know, when we went to go win the Super Bowl. We have a regression on the defense, the offensive line, everything. But everybody keeps calling in and wins this, wins that. But there's, I feel like it reminds me of the Sixers, what was going on with the Sixers and all the things that was coming out, we were finding out. I feel like that sort of happens here because we got Doug Peterson. He's like more cocky for some reason. Mm-hmm. He's not like sticking up. It feels like
he is more cocky. There's no question about that. He seems a little more secure in his position as a football genius.
And I feel like there's like a lack of communication. You know, here's a funny thing. I did something super weird. I don't think Wentz will ever get it, but I sent him a message in his Instagram and just talked about like positivity and staying focused and stuff like that. Probably won't get it, but it's like, I feel like there's so many people against him and it's like, we're not taking into account everything that's happening with this football team and the organization.
Yeah.
That's nuts fail as a team, not an individual.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I don't think that your quarterback is held in high esteem right now by this organization.
Right.
So, can he play his way back? I guess he could.
Right.
We'll see. All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. All right. 610-622-0975. Coming up, we'll talk to Bo Wolf. He covers the Eagles for The Athletic. What was the question that got Peterson all piped up?
Oh, it was about the Washington offensive line. Or, right? Last week?
What did he ask him, that Peterson?
Yeah, about the offensive line.
He was saying that it seemed like the offensive line struggled some against the blitz.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about that? And he was like, what do you mean? Yeah. Not the offensive line. And he just like jumped down his throat over nothing.
Yeah, that's right. All right, so we'll talk to Bo coming up. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:31 on the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll today. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Agonoff. Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,000 votes on this one so far. Do you think there is a disconnect between Carson Wentz and Eagles management? 73% say yes, 27% say no.
All righty. So now our next guest will have, I think, a really good outlook on this whole question that we've been discussing. He covers the Eagles for The Athletic. And every Tuesday, he and his colleague at The Athletic, Zach Berman, go over various questions. And I find it very interesting today that they talked about the dynamic of Peterson and Wentz. So let's welcome on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, Bo Wolf. Hello, Bo.
How you doing, Mike?
Good. Let's get right into this Carson thing. We've been talking about it for most of the day, and I have a theory about this whole thing. And I was interested in reading the story today where you're going back and forth with Zach Berman. And here's what you say. You know what I thought was odd about Peterson's discussion of Wentz? The way he talked about carefully considering how he coaches the fifth-year quarterback. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, it was interesting yesterday. Doug was asked about the way that he coaches guys and the way that he coaches Carson specifically. And he said something, you know, along the lines of he doesn't want to come across as too harsh. He doesn't want to lose that relationship with the quarterback as the signal caller. And he talked about the importance of that relationship. And, you know, it's interesting just to follow how their relationship has evolved over the past couple of years. You know, if you think back to 2017, you know, Carson and Doug, they had these like weekly meetings. I think it was Thursday nights where they would go over the game plan. And I think they stopped having those in 2018. Now, you know, I'm sure that Doug would say that that's because, you know, Carson at that point was still, you know, or had become like fully comfortable in the offense. They didn't need those meetings. But, you know, that has changed, and it's a little bit, unnerving, I guess, that we are in, you know, year five, and it still feels like every game with Carson Wentz is a referendum on his entire career. You know, and you have Doug yesterday saying that the interception to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was unacceptable. He shouldn't make that throw. You know, those are not things you want to hear about a fifth-year quarterback.
Yeah, and but conversely, here's the thing that also was connected to that same press conference. He was asked the question about why do you think that Carson has regressed. Now, that's a judgment we all make, and we clearly, as a fan, look at it and go, yeah, he's regressed. But the last thing I expect the coach to do is say something like, that's a good question. Did that throw you?
Yeah, I mean, it did a little bit. And you know, Doug is in these Zoom press conferences, you have to take everything he says with a bit of a grain of salt. But yeah, I thought that that was a bit of an interesting concession on his part. At the same time, you know, like he would be silly for him to pretend like these were not two very bad games for Carson Wentz. I think he could, you know, make a good case. This is probably the worst two game stretch of his career in year five. It's the first time he's had two games with back to back multiple interception games. So, you know, it would be silly if he was going to try to tell us that, you know, Carson was playing well right now.
All right, but do you see a connection between this organization right now and their quarterback, or do you see a disconnection?
Well, I think you do have to consider that part of the messaging that they had this offseason was that they wanted to make it Carson's team. You know, they thought that the end of the season, when Carson was able to rally the troops with those, you know, band of practice squad cast-offs and finish the season 4-0, was a lesson for them that they wanted to make this Carson's team, give him some young players to grow with. I think that was part of the reason that they moved on from Malcolm Jenkins, so that this could become, you know, truly Carson Wentz's locker room. And so if you think about it from that standpoint, I think it's fair to say that they wanted to make this more Carson's team. At the flip side, you know, they draft a quarterback in the second round, and they wouldn't do that if they had complete faith in Carson Wentz. So I think it's sort of mixed messaging.
All right, let's go down that avenue, because this is the avenue that we've walked down all day today. Now, I believe that they are distancing themselves away from Carson. And I don't mean this in a conspiratorial way. I mean it in a logical way. And one of my biggest flaws as a human is to be overly logic. All right. So we'll use that as a backdrop. But I tack things together and I go, okay, the drafting of Jalen Hurts says what? And what does it say to your starting quarterback? Then you go into the Ertz thing, where they didn't make him happy with the Ertz thing. They're good friends. They're going to move on from Zach Ertz. Then it was the offensive line that they didn't button down and wasted 10 days, which isn't helping your quarterback. And then yesterday he says that's a good question when asked whether he's regressing. Does that seem like that they are really married to Carson Wentz?
Well, I mean, I don't read quite as much into it as you do, especially with, you know, the offensive line. And the Ertz thing, I think, you know, the Ertz thing, logically, you would look at it and say they do have a guy in Dallas Goedert who's there to potentially take over, as, you know, acknowledging that Ertz and Wentz are definitely close. But the Hurts pick, I mean, there's no way at all to read it and say that they wouldn't have made that pick, or they would have made that pick, if they had complete confidence that Carson Wentz was going to be the guy forever and that he wasn't injury prone. It's impossible to divorce those two things, especially when, you know, they didn't have another second-round pick. They had given away a third-round pick. It's not like this team didn't have a lot of short-term needs, and you're seeing that now. This is an old team that needed an infusion of youth, and for them to take a luxury pick in the second round, I'm sure they would say that it's because they value that quarterback position and, you know, the quarterback factory and all that stuff. But if they were 100% convinced that Carson Wentz was the guy forever, they absolutely would have made that pick, and it would have made no sense.
All right, so... Let me ask you a general question then, because you observe this team on a daily basis. What do you believe is wrong with this team right now?
Well, I think it's multi-layered, and it's, you know, you look at the three tentpoles. Is it the quarterback? Is it the coaching staff? And is it the, you know, the personnel and the way the team was constructed? I think they share all three, you know, very heavily right now. I mean, Carson Wentz is playing very badly, probably as we said, the worst stretch of his career. You know, the coaching staff They got pantsed on defense against Sean McVay. And, you know, Jim Schwartz acknowledged that today. And on offense, they're, you know, they are making things hard for themselves as they have for the past 2 years. Everything is so congested. There's very little creativity. While the rest of the league is rolling out this new stuff, we're seeing exactly what we've seen from the Eagles in the past. And then this is also a very old team. And, you know, you look at like the top 10 contracts on this team, it's Carson Wentz and then nine guys who are going to be 30 at the end of the year. And there's no help on the outside at wide receiver. They made an off-season decision to try to fortify the defense instead of addressing the offense. And, you know, Darius Slay's been good, and their defense is still very bad. So that tells you that that was maybe not the right way to go about things. So as the rest of the league is, you know, focusing on having an explosive offense, you've got the Eagles trotting out 12 personnel 68% of the time when, you know, the number two team is at like 31%. So it's just a very sloggy offense, a defense that struggles a lot. I think they all share a part of it. I think, you know, it's not looking good right now.
All right. I'm looking at the schedule. And I'm going, like, after six, this looks like a 1-5 team. And so if you take that even further, just say after eight, they're 2-6. Do they change the quarterback?
I don't think so. I mean, I think now I'm sort of with you that if it gets to three quarters of the way, you know, towards the season and they are, like, eliminated from the playoffs, then, yeah, like, you have to see what Jalen Hurts has. You just in terms of, you know, knowledge gathering and knowing how you should proceed moving forward. If it happens to be that Jalen Hurts is some dynamo, then yeah, you need to know that. But I think once they flip that switch, they know that there's really no unflipping it. So I think they'd have to be really, really out of it for them to make that move.
All right. I believe that they already in their head have decided that they're going to be better off with Jalen Hurts, and they've got a couple years to rest on that premise, and they'll let this guy die on the vine and then move him for value. So that's what I think. Now, I don't know if that's, maybe I'm going too far, but I'm firmly in that camp right now, as I don't understand why a coach would answer a question about his quarterback's regression and say, oh, I don't think he's regressed. Instead, he says, that's a good question. I just can't get past it. I'm sorry.
Well, I think Doug's had a lot of sort of you know, missteps along the way that he would be happy for you to look into as well.
Yeah, all right. So he's changed a little bit because, you know, he got into a little beef with you a couple of weeks ago when you asked a very legitimate question about the offensive line getting dominated, and he came at you. He's different. What has changed about this coach?
Well, I think you have seen this from Doug in the past when the team gets down. He sort of snipes a little bit more at the media and tries to, you know, insulate the team and make it us against them. And it gets a little bit tiresome. Like, it doesn't always have to be nobody believed in us. You don't have to start 0-2 just so you can, you know, build up that narrative. That question the other day, you know, I think he just didn't really hear what I had said because I said, you might think that it was because of the offensive line. And he sort of jumped on that. I'm sure he was tired of hearing about how bad the offensive line was that whole week. And, you know, credit to them. The offensive line looked good in week two. They changed the game plan up. So I give him some credit there. But Doug, he does sort of, he has this mentality sometimes where he wants to be a little bit snipey. And there's a funny little thing in his book, which he says, like, he goes into every press conference with a game plan. And so, like, I think sometimes his game plan is to just act sort of antagonistic and send that message to the team for whatever reason.
All right. Well, Bo, you did a good job. You do a good job. You have a great demeanor to be a beat writer, be unaffected by stuff. And they were talking about Wolf, the Athletic, who covers the Eagles. Last question. You still playing basketball?
You know, it's been a while. I haven't played since the pandemic started, but I'd like to get back out there.
Oh, so you are still playing. Well, good for you, man. I've retired.
We'll see how much longer the knee's hold up.
Yeah, I'm 100 years old. I'm done. All right, man. Listen, thanks.
Jack didn't stop Jack.
What's that? Yeah, well, but it's stopping me. I got nothing left. All right, we'll talk to you up the road.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, it's Bo Wolf on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. All right, he's got a good demeanor.
Yeah.
You got to have that. You got to be able to bounce if you're a beat writer.
Yeah, and I like his reading. You know, I've been an Athletic fan.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big Athletic fan.
Yeah, so, well, because I
like it too.
And some of the other shows are too cheap to pay for it, so I feel like it gives us an advantage.
Yeah, it definitely does give us an advantage.
Because we get access to stuff that other people don't get.
Right, you've been expensing that?
No, I should. Same thing with the ESPN Insider. Like, there's, we got.
Yeah, I'm sure
I just feel like this show has access to stuff that some of the other ones don't have.
Oh, it absolutely does. And I'm sure the you know, the person in charge of expenses, the corporate person, would look at that and go, ah! the Phillies are down 1-0, by the way.
Yeah, I think it was Moniak's fault. I'm not watching. But apparently he made a bad play in the field.
They have an error. Was it his error?
Apparently. He shouldn't be here. Like, I don't even blame him. He shouldn't be here yet. He's not ready.
All right. Oh, yeah. Soto got on an error by Moniak. So he must have charged the ball and muffed it. Because Soto got the second one.
That's two days in a row. But he wouldn't have been playing yesterday if Roman Quinn wasn't a moron.
So it was an unearned run.
Yeah.
We got the first two outs. And then Soto got the second on Moniak. Aaron Cabrera singled. He scored. All right, 610-632-0975. One line is open. It's the Mike Missanelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
All right, 3:47, Mike Missanelli Show. Again, we had plenty to do this Goodfellas thing, so I'll continue this in the 4 o'clock hour. It's the 30th anniversary of the movie Goodfellas, which everybody has seen. And so, maybe not as much as me, but I'm going to just give you a line from Goodfellas. You got to tell me the scene from the movie that the line is from. And these are fairly easy, I think.
This is a little fun.
Yeah,
30th anniversary.
Doing a little fun. Blake Bortles is signed to the Broncos as a backup because I guess Locus is out now.
Not for long, but yeah, they'll have the other guy they signed be the main, and he'll be the backup. So won't know how long that'll last because they, Lord knows, there could have been anyone else that could have been the backup.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, let's go. Aaron in Norristown. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
Michael, how you doing today, buddy?
What's going on?
Not much, not much. I wanted to ask you a question before I made my point.
Mm-hmm.
What, in your scenario, what year do you think they would be trading Carson Wentz or getting rid of him?
Maybe after next year or after this year.
So that's why.
Wait,
that's,
he's got 2 years left on the deal, right?
No, actually, they traded him in 2022. That's a $24 million dead cap hit. You're going to tell me this team is going to do that?
Well, they can make it.
That's why I put a hole in your conspiracy theory. They're not doing that, Michael.
Well, they can trade a guy.
They can trade
a guy. They don't release a guy as the cap hit. When you trade a guy, you're not getting a cap hit.
It's a dead cap. Oh, yeah. They get a dead cap of $24 million. That's why Rodgers, it was
a lesser cap hit than just releasing him.
No, it's 24. Michael, I'm telling you, I'm looking right at it on my computer. I'm telling you what it is, but if you guys want to refute it, then that's what. But
yeah, we want to refute.
If they would trade him by June of 2021, it's a $31 million dead cap hit.
All right. Then why would then they're stupid? Okay, so I gave you two choices. Either they had this theory, which I think was progressive, that they wouldn't have turned it over to Hurts, or it's nonsense that they drafted Hurts. So you can look at it that way.
Let me ask you this. I agree with what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
I agree with that. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Who is it responsible, once he steps into the field and he has the ball in his hands, who's the most responsible for how he plays?
He is.
There you go.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, on social media, every time he makes a mistake, these people who defend him with the Wentzix, all they got to do right away.
That's not true!
Did you see the rat? You know what, Tyrone? Why don't you look at your post? You literally have to repost a picture of Arthega Whiteside's route. You know, how about the fact that Carson Wentz is the 31st rated QBR quarterback in
football?
Yeah,
he's been terrible.
That's hard to do.
Nobody is saying that he hasn't been terrible.
Michael, he's too.
But in game one, let's take a game one. You don't think the coach was partly responsible for him getting sacked 8 times?
I agree, but can we focus on Carson right now? You're trying to talk about it. Can we focus on Carson? Did he?
All right, so you're not a Carson fan.
Hold on. I am.
Okay.
He's not performing. He's not performing to what he should do. You know, he, and 2 years ago, everybody talks about, like Natalie talks about, you can go on Google. Well, you know, I went on Google 2 years ago. They started off 5-7 and then some backup came in and they went 4-1 last year before he went on.
How's everyone doing?
Before everybody talks about that 4-game streak, how was he doing last year before that 4-game streak, Michael?
Yeah, listen, I don't know what you're talking to a choir here. I judge people on how they're playing. I'm not married to Carson Wentz. I'm merely saying that I think the organization has turned their back on him mentally.
So let me ask you one other question. Yes. I agree with you. Let me ask you one other question. Why do people go out of the way to defend him? Like
nobody, more people go out of their way to defend freaking Foles than they do Wentz. Come on, Aaron.
Well, you should ask your two coworkers.
Forget the coworkers. They have a certain way. I mean, you're talking about the people out there. Nobody's defending Carson Wentz. They're always ripping him. There's not as much love for Carson Wentz as there was for Foles. You know that.
Michael, I'm invested for him to succeed. I'm a season ticket holder. I want him to take
okay,
a
all right.
That's not true.
Whatever. You know the good fellow. Hey, listen. That's enough. All right. Let's do a good fellow thing. Let's calm it down. All right? You get a little too rambunctious every now and then. You've seen the movie Goodfellas, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you a line from Goodfellas. You tell me the scene.
I'll do my best.
I guess you'd do a lot better with Manischewitz. But it would look funny on my table.
Is he talking to what's his name's wife?
Nah, you're out. You're out.
You lose. Good day, sir.
I guess you'd do a lot better with Manischewitz, but it would look funny on my table. That's when he's a double dating and he's with the girl from the Five Towns. And Henry is tagging along with Karen.
Yeah, but
in the first date, and he's totally not engaged.
Like, he's already ordering. He's, like, trying to rush out of there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He finally got the date with the girl from the Five Towns.
Oh, just for the idiot that just called.
You hate it.
Here's what I tweeted about Wentz, just to be clear. Wentz can't do that with an exclamation point. Mm-hmm. Can't ever target Arcega Whiteside either, because that's who the interception was to.
Yeah.
Miserable decision.
Why do you care about Aaron?
I don't.
You let him get under your skin.
Why is he calling
me? You can't let him get under your skin. He gets under your skin.
Because he's not
just
smart.
Just ignore him.
But he thinks he's the smartest guy in the city.
You know he does, but ignore him.
Nah, he's calling. I can't do it. Also,
your coworkers.
And then he's talking about the photo that I think that was Tim McManus with a video breakdown of what Wentz saw when he released it and how the ball was late because when the guy got open. This is just fundamental things. I can't have a guy on that level sullying my name. It's got to have a guy with some clout, not him.
Well, he doesn't have clout, so don't worry about it.
Right, I can't have clout with guys talking about me.
All right.
Give me a clout guy.
He's got a lot of money. She's about the Five Towns. You know what the Five Towns are?
Wait, I did know the Five Towns.
Five Towns. They hear the Five Towns in Five Towns.
Wait, what are the Five Towns?
Five Towns are in the South Shore of Western Long Island. They're not towns. They're like villages.
Yeah.
They're villages. The villages. I was taking a break. 610-622-0975. One line is open. And you can grab it. And by the way, coming up, yes, the football pool contest. Yes, we're going to give you the number in about 5 minutes. If you're the fifth caller, we'll tell you what you got. Well, you got $100 out of the chute. But then you're playing for the grand prize drawing to get in that pool, for the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic football pool. And everything in it with a snowblower, $1,000 cash, year's supply of snack foods, a fire pit from Landon's Bunk, it's all kinds of stuff in it. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour, Mike Mussnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. The 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop. to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online, landisbc.com.
This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
Yes, it is the Fanatic Football Pool. And we're inviting you now to call the contest line, 215-263-0975. If you're caller five, we'll hang in there with you. And when you're we're ready to go, we'll ask you a trivia question. So if you're caller five, right away, you get $100 off. Boom. $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And then we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, then you qualify for the grand prize drawing in the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it, which includes a snowblower, a pool and pro from Paul B. Moyer & Sons. It includes $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook, full year supply of snacks from Hearst Snack Food, fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete, and all kinds of other stuff, including the Godfather trivia game, which I have next to me, which we will utilize tomorrow a little bit, sample-wise, on General Knowledge Wednesday. All right. Caller five. All right, let's go back to the phones. Adam in North Philly. Adam, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Adam.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's going on, Adam?
Hey, so give me some time here. I'm not trying to puff my chest out or anything, mm-hmm. but I remember I'm not an Eagles fan, but I was watching the Super Bowl with a bunch of Eagles fans, and I remember thinking, man, you guys had it made, and I can't believe that management's doing it this guy. I mean, you guys won the Super Bowl, and in my head I was thinking, you know, every opening day for the next 10 years, you guys get to wake up and have Carson Wentz as your football, you know, quarterback. And you got a chance at the Super Bowl. So I'm a Steelers fan. And if this is Ben's last year, you know, sign me up if you guys want to move Wentz out to the other side of the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, that may happen. So you can sign up. I can't imagine that I had this wrong. I really can't. I don't understand any other reason why you would draft a quarterback in the second round if you in your head have not moved on. And it's too logical for it not to be true. These guys are all shiny new toy people.
Sure. And, if you want to look at bad quarterbacks, everybody thinks the grass is greener on the other side. I mean, we had some terrible ones rotating through the lineup last year, I think Wentz is an outstanding quarterback, and I think it's kind of crazy that I agree with you. I think the writing's on the wall here with what they're doing in terms of not getting the weapons, drafting the second round quarterback. It all makes too much sense, and I would gladly
listen. It's possible maybe he's just not it. I'm not eliminating that possibility. I'm not sitting here saying kick and squeak. We got to have Carson. Got to have Carson. He's played like crap in two games.
Sure. I mean, there's so many quarterbacks out there that have had two bad games. I mean, Ben has done that plenty.
Yeah, but this is his fifth year, and he looks totally lost. He's like last in the league in every category.
Agreed. And he was getting his brains bashed in that first week with no offensive line help. I agree with you. You haven't said anything wrong. He's looked pretty bad this year thus far. But with what he had last year, getting into the playoffs, what he did, that Super Bowl run, that run he went on. I think he's a great quarterback. And if Philly really wants to move on from him, I feel like more than just.
I don't think he's a great quarterback. He has yet to achieve greatness. So. All right, we have our fifth caller on the line. His name is Mike, and he's from Cinnaminson. Mike, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Congratulations. You win $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And now I'm about to ask you a trivia question. It will qualify you for the grand prize of the prize pool and all these great things that are in it. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. Name the owner, the head coach, and the general manager of the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl in 2017.
The owner was Jeffrey Lurie. What was the other coach? The coach was Doug Peterson. And what was the other one?
The other one was the GM.
The GM, Howie Rosen.
Well, that was about as easy a question as we could ever give you. We gave you a gift. We just like, myself. I shouldn't even, I just should have landed you in the baby pool.
All right. I would probably fit, Mike.
All right, congratulations. You're in the drawing. Hold on a second. That's Mike from Cinnamons, New Jersey. The biggest layup question I've ever heard. We're not even making these tough. We're just giving people prizes.
Yeah, well, a lot of them have been easy.
Yes,
people have gotten easy ones wrong.
Well, I think the idea is we want everybody to qualify.
Yeah.
We want everybody to have a chance. We
want people to, but.
Exactly. All right. So anyway, the Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Must be 21 or over. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's go to Lamar in Philly. What's up, Lamar?
What's up, Mike? How you guys doing today?
Good, man. How you doing?
I don't know, Mike. I'm not one of them guys, Mike, that say I want to be right. I just want to have a good Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for the last couple of years, I've called, I've said the same thing. I've even called Saturday and got laughed off the radio by Tyrone, but that's neither here nor there. I feel like sports and Wentz time, they just came and went. Torch interview, you guys have picked apart Doug Peterson's interview, but nobody has picked apart Torch interview.
I'm about to do that right now.
And this guy said... This guy said that his defense was ranked second in running. Mike, that's because nobody runs the ball against him. But you could just throw the ball. You could be Fitzpatrick. You could be the stiff up in Washington.
He was saying last year they were that. His numbers were ranked on his last year's defense.
Yeah, even the last year, Mike, this guy has been literally, Sports have just stuck it up. And the players are taking a beating. And then the receivers are taking a beating in Carson's problem. Carson's problem, his regression, his biggest issue is he doesn't go through his reads. He don't feel comfortable. I watched the video this morning on ESPN where it shows his feet when he throws. He's all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I will say this. Right now, I can pretty much say that Jim Schwartz is not a great defensive coordinator. He's been okay. He hasn't stood out. And Doug Peterson has not stood out as a great offensive coordinator calling plays. So, yeah, that's a factor, obviously.
So, therefore, that's
I said it earlier, neither of them take much responsibility.
Like, you guys used to laugh at Peterson. Peterson is a bonehead. He always will be. At the end of the day, these guys caught lightning in the bottle in 17. And yes, I'm a Foles guy. Foles gave him the game of his life, and you got a ring. But Peterson, on his own, could never think that far. And Schwartz can never bring his cornerbacks up that far, that close to even be effective. So you got a bad defensive coordinator, a bad head coach, and a lost quarterback. And that's just the biggest problem.
All right, man. Hey, listen, do you are you a good fellas, man?
Nah, not at all, Mike.
How could you not be? Like, what? Are you kidding?
Well,
are you an American?
Yeah, but I grew up in a religious household. We didn't watch
TV. Oh, too many curses. Okay. All right, I get that.
No, you don't.
I get it. If you're religious, you don't want to hear a curse movie.
Lamar calls up like a jerk all the time.
He might be a jerk, but if he's religious, I can see why he wouldn't want to for good fellas.
So profanity's bad, but being a jerk is holy? Nah, I can't go with that.
I guess Lamar's he's not cursing.
Yeah, he's not. Like, he's too much of a jerk to be like, I don't believe that. I think he's just a fraud who didn't watch the movie. He says too many fraudulent things to be a religious
I don't know
man.
Lamar that way. So
yeah, Lamar called on Saturday.
He calls on Saturday.
He's a little fraud.
Okay.
Like a little fraud DNA.
All right. But, you know, listen, it is, you know. We had a lot of F-bombs in Goodfellas.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not a wholesome movie, but Lamar's not a wholesome person, so it's the same.
It's not good news for the Phillies. They're in the eighth spot, and they're in a must-win situation with their ace pitching today. They're down 5-0 in the third inning.
It's over.
Oh, my God. Aaron Nola not coming up big. He gave up double, toil and trouble in the bottom of the third to start the inning.
That's two straight starts bad from him. Wheeler lost yesterday, so their top two will be 0-3 down the stretch.
It's not good. Maybe they're not going to make the playoffs. Gabe Kapler is looming.
I don't think they're going to make it either.
Giants aren't going to make it?
Nah.
Cardinals coming in there as the eighth spot? Who's the eighth spot?
It won't be. I don't think it'll be the Giants or the Phillies.
All right. Let's talk about the Schwartz thing because we've been playing cuts that he looks like magnanimous, that he's taking all the blame and he had a bad game plan and all this kind of stuff. But I also heard what he had to say, and passive-aggressively, he buried three of his players, veteran players, for making mistakes. So, and then he tried to get out of it by saying, But if those veteran players are making mistakes, that's probably my fault. Mm-mm. All right, let's hear what he had to say.
We had very experienced players make uncharacteristic mistakes. You know, Rodney talked about himself. Guys like Brandon Graham, who's one of the best backside run defenders I've ever been around. We got gashed on a couple runs because Brandon didn't close the way that he normally closes. Or, you know, Avante Maddox, who is a young vet, but he's an experienced player looking in the backfield, letting a guy run past him. You know, Jalen Mills, you know, playing the run when it was a pass. When too many of those things happen, I don't blame the players. I blame myself.
Oh, you do, though.
You know, you have one missed assignment.
Yeah, I'm glad. It sure looks like you're blaming yourself there, Jimmy. Just buried Brandon Graham, Maddox, and Mills. And then you go, if that happened. Well, I'm glad you put it out there. You know, you use them sacrificial lambs, but then it's your fault. Come on, man. That's bad.
It's bad, but it will work. You saw the last call. Oh, like there are people out there who really think that Doug and them do a great job,
mm-hmm.
and the players just stink, and there's no correlation whatsoever that poorly coached teams mm-hmm. always lose. It's not all those players always stink. Sometimes the coach plays a role in it. But yeah. Nope.
Yeah,
not here.
Yeah, and regarding Lamar question Doug's intelligence. Listen, I've been pretty much on that side by saying my man is not the shiniest car in the lot, but and maybe that has a factor, but he should be okay football wise to execute basic things, and against Washington he didn't.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's go Henry in Tampa back with us. What's up, Henry?
Hey, Mike and Liz, what's up? What's
going on, Henry?
Same old. I need Jeff Lurie to step in and do something there. If they don't, I don't see this team going anywhere.
What's Lurie gonna? What do you think he's thinking right now?
We need Jeff Lurie to act like Jerry Jones, start getting on Harry Roseman, and start getting on Doug, and get this game rolling and get this nonsense over with.
Well, what's he gonna do with Howie? I mean, everything is kind of done now. I mean, you know, they drafted players, and like, what can he do to Howie?
Get a new general manager.
Well, he's not going to do that now, though, Henry. You know, it's the middle of the season. You're not going to fire a general manager. You're not going to fire a coach either in the middle of the season.
Like I said, Mike, I don't think this team ain't going nowhere for a while.
All right, well.
You remember at the parade, Harry Roseman said, we're not done yet. I knew something was up down at the parade when he said that. Remember when he said that?
Yeah, well, I remember the new norm, too. I remember all that stuff. But see, I don't get affected by that kind of stuff. I look at what they are. And right now, what they are is they don't look like a very good team to me.
They don't mean, I knew this in off season and in the draft. I knew this was going to happen.
All right, Hen. Well, you listen, you hang in there because they may bounce back. They're going to win next weekend.
I really like Carson Wentz. I want him to stay in Philly, but
here's the deal. They're going to win. They're going to beat Cincinnati. All right. Now, that's win number one. Then they have to pull an unexpected win in those next three games. And if they beat one of those teams on the road, either against San Francisco or Pittsburgh, and then at home against the Ravens, well, they're probably not going to win that game. But if they win one of those games on the road, and then you got two wins there, and now you're 2-4.
And the Eagles got to play the Raiders this year. We got Baltimore. We got Pittsburgh.
I just talked about Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I don't think they play the Raiders. Well, who's the Raiders? Raiders stink. What, because they won last night? They stink. You watch the game last night?
Yeah. The Saints might not be that good. I already had that as a win. I still have that as a win. As bad as the Eagles are, they're going to beat the Saints. You know what I had to deal with, too, this morning?
What's that?
A bunch of idiots who decided to use the Nelson Aguilar one catch that he had in the game. He only had one,
I saw your tweet on that. You weren't happy with that.
Because, okay, the quarterback stinks. You can use stuff from the quarterback, right, to say the quarterback stinks. What people who have a previous agenda are doing,
yeah,
they take the literally, the man had one target. He had 19 yards in the game. And they say, see, if Carr is better than Wentz because Aguilar had this play. And they use this one catch to try to spin a narrative because they have a personal agenda. That, to me, is wretched when the guy has one catch. Now, if Aguilar had 100 yards on a Monday night stage, now, he's done that before here in flashes. I can understand the narrative. But to take one play and spin a narrative out of it, it just...
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It kind of like... Well, and these people are allowed to collect checks? This is an intern move. That should be for college credit at best.
Well, see, you get lit up by that, and I would just go, yeah, that's just stupid. Like, that would be my reply to that. Yeah, right. That's just ridiculous.
You have a better ability to do that. I'm thinking about
I'm more dismissive, and you let it light you up.
Because these people have followings, and if people that don't know, and there's a lot of people in the city, we're a smart sports town, but we also have a lot of buffoons. If those buffoons follow those buffoons,
yeah,
they'll go around and tell their buddies, and now it becomes like a poisoning of the well based on crap.
Yeah.
Just use footage of him missing passes. He's missed a ton. Use those. Don't use a Nelson Aguilar one catch. Just use Wentz's bad throws. They're all available.
Yeah.
Do that to point out that he stinks. Don't try to spin a Nelson Aguilar catch of 3 yards where he runs out of bounds and go, see, this is what I've been telling everybody. Like, I can't. Like, it's insulting to the people, and it makes rubes even dumber.
Yeah.
That follow.
All right, well, since we're on that, this is kind of related. I wanted to bring this up anyway, and it's this Katie Nolan, Jason Whitlock thing. Now, normally, I don't pay any mind to Jason Whitlock because I think that he is, I think he's really struggling with an identity crisis inside. And the only weapon he has is to bloviate with these written pieces that it go against what everybody else thinks. So he took a swing for why did he do it anyway? Like what was the onus for him to write about Katie Nolan? And
he was mad at that Maria Taylor had a vote.
That was Doug Gottlieb.
Right.
So she
had Maria Taylor's back.
Oh, okay.
And then he's like, and while we're at it, and he's had an agenda with her, he's had an agenda with Bomani Jones, he has an agenda with certain people, and most people have learned to ignore him. Katie didn't ignore him, and this is what
he said that Katie Nolan's a reflection of white privilege, and he also said that the only reason she succeeded was elevated to her position of earning seven figures is physical beauty and not substance, basically, is what he said.
Yeah.
Now, Natalie, I know you'd like to comment on that.
No, well, I just don't, you know, you see these pieces and I was really more, you know, incensed about the Maria Taylor piece because if you read, and I shouldn't have even spent my time on it, like Ty said, if you read through it, I'm just sick of seeing these dudes who are like washed up hating on people for their success when it's like just stay in your own lane and mind your own business.
Yeah, it comes from jealousy.
Yeah, but then you're taking cheap shots and then he's like, oh, well, I'm not a misogynist. If you know what misogyny is, it's an ingrained prejudice against women. So if you didn't have that, you wouldn't bring up their appearance at all. It's fine if you want to judge somebody on their performance or say whatever you want, but he literally said, I would never have that job, or Maria Taylor wouldn't have that job if she was short, unattractive, and grumpy. That's why you don't have that job, because you're short, unattractive, and grumpy. That's why. It's just like, I'm just over these people who just like have these personal agendas out of bitterness, and they're going to tear people down, and then they're going to try and gaslight and say that that's not what they're doing.
Let me give the other side of it, just for the sake of argument. The guys that usually do that are people who have paid a lot of dues and haven't risen to a level that they should have in their mind, right? So that's where that comes from. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. It's clearly a jealous bitterness type of thing. But when somebody like that who has paid a lot of dues sees somebody who hasn't paid a lot of dues, that kind of opinion is going to come out from people who are very insecure.
The problem with it is he doesn't know enough about her background. First of all, Katie Nolan is clever. Katie Nolan also is not a beauty queen. I'm not saying that Katie Nolan is unattractive in any way, shape, or form. I'm saying that people do not tune in, especially online, where she did all that work. So her digital following was all her. They weren't tuning in to look at her. They weren't. She's not a glam girl. She's based on substance. That stuff that she does, she's done. She built that.
She's an entertainer.
Right. She worked at Fox Sports before. She did all of that coming out of Boston. She did all of that. No one, like Maria Taylor, there are people that tune in. That doesn't mean she's not competent, by the way, but there are absolute people who tune in to look at her. People don't really tune in. He picked the wrong person, but he worked at ESPN. It didn't work out. Because of
he's a bitter fool, basically. But I'm just not trying to make an argument here.
No.
If there is, do you think there is a bias amongst male executives who, frankly, like we had this discussion before, like a woman anchor, if she lets her hair go gray, is not going to be on TV anymore. Now, this is because there possibly is a bias among male executives who hire with the notion that it has to be an attractive woman to get a job.
Well, yeah, and that's the overarching problem here. And yet you have dudes like him who are going to sit there and, you know, throw punches for no reason. Well, if you have a problem with it, then yes, stand up and stand up for every woman who wants to have a job in the industry.
The other part is,
you're going to tear somebody down for actually putting in the work and getting the position? Get out of my face.
But if he was female, he'd be homeless.
Yeah, he would.
If he was female, if it was Jessica Whitlock, never would have worked at ESPN. Mm-hmm. Never would have worked at Fox Sports. Never would have been part of the thing he's part of now. He would still be at the Kansas City Star and would have stayed there forever.
Yeah, which, by the way, and then to double down on the Maria Taylor thing, everybody's jumping on her because she left Anthony Davis off. Okay, she admitted it was a mistake. It was an oversight. This dude he was suspended by the Kansas City Star for heckling fans. You want to talk
that
about
way back?
It doesn't matter. He wants to throw punches about professionalism and being better at your job. You can't even control yourself that you have to heckle fans, yet you're going to rip somebody who makes one mistake. But it's just like women are supposed to be infallible in the industry, and people just wait to pounce on them. And I get it,
but on the other hand, we give that guy too much of an ear. I mean, he shouldn't even get an ear.
I agree. You know? I block like, him. Who I don't is respond he? Like, to I, him.
Seriously, like,
I just look. I just. I will.
Like,
I
that
saw
guy
it.
Should be ignored.
But
he should.
But he's looking for a head pat from a very specific demographic, and by attacking women or attacking other black people, he gets the head pat from a very specific demographic.
Which, in a way, is him executing white privilege.
Yes.
Yeah,
he is the chosen one. So whenever, we need a black person to talk bad about LeBron opening a school.
We need a black person to talk bad about black people. And he's the guy
he's the go-to guy. Yeah, he has boxed out others to be at the top of that list so he can get the head pat.
Exactly.
Because that's what he's looking
and
for.
And also, because of that, it gives other men who kind of have that mindset permission to harass people online. You know what I mean? Because he still has a platform and he still has a voice, it's like it's easy to ignore him, but also it should be called out because it's not okay. People aren't about that anymore.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and take your calls and do this Goodfellas thing with you. I have more scenes to recreate, but you have to have seen the movie, obviously. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get an update on a Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Nat, what's the Twitter poll number right now?
Thanks, Mike. We have over 1,200 votes on this one. Do you think there is a disconnect between Carson Wentz and Eagles management? 74% say yes, 26% say no.
74% of people Feel the same way. Disconnect. Moving on. Oh, man. I love the way the season is developing. By game 10, where will we be? Let's go back to the phones and go to West Palm Beach. Brian, what's up in West Palm?
Yo, listen. I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Why in the hell would the Eagles management and the coaching staff think Jalen Hurts is the answer? He got replaced at Bama.
Yeah, but then he thrived. I mean, he thrived at Oklahoma. He had a good year at
Oklahoma.
Hold on
a sec. Wait, listen. And then he quit because he acted like a girl. And
what do you mean he quit?
Went to Oklahoma.
He stayed on the team. As a backup.
He didn't.
Yes, he did. He stayed on the team as a backup for a whole year, and they needed him in that championship game. Where were you at?
He couldn't fight for his job.
Well, he stayed there. What are you talking about? He stayed and played the year out when he got replaced. And then after, when it was clear he wasn't going to start, he went to another school. There's nothing wrong with that. People do that all the time.
No, quitters do that.
Come on, man. This is big-time college football. If you're not going to play, you're not going to get a chance to go to the next level. You need a chance to start. He knew he wasn't going to start at Alabama, so he went to Oklahoma. There's absolutely nothing wrong with
that. That's what I'm saying. He knew he wasn't going to start.
Well, but he started at Oklahoma. It's just as big a program.
And
you're going down the wrong road here, bro.
You're going down the wrong road.
You asked the question, why do they think he's good enough? Well, he had a good year at Oklahoma. He was a highly regarded quarterback, maybe not a first rounder, but they think, in their judgment, that he can be more like the nouveau quarterback of today. I'm not saying they're right, but I'm saying that's what they think.
But if he couldn't make it at Bama, and he got replaced.
Why do you keep going down this Bama thing? He got replaced by a guy who at the time was a better passer. He went to another school and rehabbed himself into a major player.
Okay.
That's silly. Your argument's silly. Let's go to Mike and Cherry Hill. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Mike?
Nothing much. I got a couple things I wanted to talk to you about. Let's see how many I can get to here. But I'm your favorite jabroni, by the way. I call in, you call me a jabroni because I like Jim Schwartz, but that's all right.
Yeah, I don't use the word jabroni, so you must have me confused with somebody else.
That's all right. Anyway, what's up with the quarterback coach? Why aren't we talking about getting good coaching for Carson? I mean, the guy over in Kansas City, Dave Cannondale's, the guy over in the guy over in Kansas City, Mike Kafka, why aren't we bringing them in as offensive coordinators? We've got the guy that brought in the offseason who's like special assistant to the head coach or something, or a special like offensive advisor. You know, why aren't we bringing in coaches that will help Carson, you know, develop? Like, I think
First of all, I've had it with the help Carson develop. It's his fifth year in the league now. For crying out loud. Why do we need somebody continually to hold the guy's hand? Number two, the offensive coordinator happens to be the head coach, and he thinks that he's good.
Well, he's not that good.
Well, but he's the head coach, and he wants to call plays. It's not like he's not going to call in a guy. Like he hasn't had his come-to-Jesus moment. He still thinks he's a really good play caller.
Do you think we need an offensive coordinator? Do you think one of those guys?
I think that if he was smart, he would have an offense, divorce himself from calling plays, and be a better coach on his feet. Yes, I do think that. But enough of the quarterback coach stuff with this Carson Wentz. I have had it. What they need this guy, they need that guy. And I miss Frank Reich. The guy's 5 years in the league. He's supposed to be a talent. Enough.
I mean, the best year he ever had was with Frank Reich.
Okay, now he's 5 years in. When do you pick it up? When do you not need a quarterback coach to make you a good player? Do you have a pedigree or not?
I mean, he's got mechanical issues. I mean, that's just coaching. Like, if the guy's stance as he throws is garbage.
You don't think they've worked with him? Whoever is there has worked with him on this stuff? You don't think whoever is there has told him he's got to get rid of the ball? Enough with this guy now. 5 years into the league. If he was a low-round draft pick or if he was like a guy that was in his first or second year, yeah, he's in his fifth year.
So you don't think it's coaching? All right.
Listen, I don't say it's not coaching, but enough with this. That he does. It's not his fault. It is. He's supposed to progress, not regress. Figure it to freak out. For crying out loud, if you're a baseball player, you're 5 years, you couldn't hit. Are you going to blame the hitting coach?
Well, no, I'm not talking about, we're talking about pitching. If your guy's, you know, he's got, you know, he can throw strikes at 100, no problem, but you can't, you know, he can't hit, you know, he can't throw a changeup or, you know, whatever else.
Well, then that guy wasn't highly regarded in the first place. Carson Wentz was highly regarded enough to be taken with the second pick in the damn draft.
No, I hear you. No, I'm with you.
I can't take it anymore. I've had it. How come they don't have a quarterback back? Enough. Freaking guy's in his fifth year now. He's a quarterback coach. Tell him how to play. They got people. Look at Carson. Your mechanics are off. You're holding on to the ball too long. Well, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go out there when the play's on and guide his arm? 610-632-0975 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All righty, it's 4:44 on the Mike Missinelli Show. Uh-oh, my little earpiece came out. Some Chinese new earpiece things. It's a thing that you stick in your ear, and it's supposed to open your ear canal at a different angle so you hear clearer.
Well, that's interesting.
It could be a gimmick. I don't know. It's from Germany. It's called, it's on here, it's like, I forget what it's, I can't read it.
I want to try it. I really do.
So tonight's the key, because at night, I get this buzzing in my ear, this tinnitus or whatever it's called.
Tinnitus?
It's not pronounced that. It's not pronounced tinnitus. It's pronounced something different. I can never remember what it's pronounced. But anyway, I get it in my right ear when I lay my head down on the pillow at night. I prop up, watch a little TV in bed. I get this ringing in my right ear.
Yeah.
So I've had ear people look at it. I had an MRI in case it was something with my brain or my ear canal. It's nothing. It's just basic tinnitus. So your ear changes to the point where the lining in it, the little cilious hairs change, and the vibration comes into your ear a different way, and it makes you buzz, and you can't do anything about it. There's no cure for it.
No, it's common actually in musicians as well.
Really?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
All these years with headphones.
Absolutely.
But my left ear is perfectly fine. Just there's a buzz in my right ear. So I saw this little thing that supposedly alleviates it. So I just got them in the mail. It's a little piece of rubber. See it? Look, it's like a little tiny thing. It's got a little stem on it.
Yeah.
And you just stick it in your ear canal.
Have you noticed a difference today?
I actually think I hear clearer, but tonight is the test.
Yeah.
You know, and put it to
how the many test. Did you get? Did you just get one pair?
One pair, yeah.
Huh.
Why not? I was going to get two pair. One pair doesn't work. I try everything.
Yeah,
you
know? I know.
And it doesn't work. It's, you know, it's BS.
I just didn't know if it was like a two-for deal.
No, I looked at a YouTube video of a guy giving it a review also.
Okay.
Now, I have no way knowing whether the guy's connected to the company, mind you. But it's supposed to be some independent. And the guy said, it's a good product.
Were they expensive?
$27.
Oh, I got to get them. Because I can't hear.
It is a little expensive. They're just a little piece of rubber. Like, you know, it's probably takes it's like 3 cents to make.
Right.
They're a little rubber mold that they put in there. But apparently the angle of it is supposed to create a channel that makes you hear clearer, and it filters out like the white noise that you hear on an everyday basis.
Yeah. I'm trying them. I'm going to try them too. We'll all have them.
All right. Let's go to Jay and Bluebell. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Jay? How you doing?
All right. While I was waiting, I was called him on the phone, and I saw a couple commercials. Both of the guys are on there. I saw the Tyrone commercial, I saw the Bill commercial. I said, man.
Well, as you were listening online?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea what that online situation is like. Yeah, they run willy-nilly commercials, and people say that the commercials are repeating. I don't know. I just did a show. All I knew how to sit down and order a meal. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Anyway, let me go and say this.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it is what's happening behind the scenes is being spilled over onto the field. I think if you listen to what Doug Peterson, his last thing is, I'm giving him everything he wants. Like, I don't think he's coachable. I think he's a problem. Going back to Alshon Jeffrey, going back to what other teammates have been saying, if you look at during the game, nobody really even goes talks to him. Even Doug don't really go talk to him.
Well, Nate the Great does, though. Nate the Great cozies up to him.
Exactly. But really, he don't really deal with anybody.
Yeah.
Doug
is coaching the game, though. You're right. I never see, like, a quarterback coach go over.
You never see anybody really have anyone. Just look at it. No one really has interactions with him. I think he's an issue behind the scenes. And actually, I agree with you saying the fact of the matter is they pretty much, first of all, once everybody saw Patty Holmes, they said, I want one of those. So they actually went to draft him based on his injury. But now that he's being the prima donna, they're pretty much done with him.
Listen, I will say that I don't think Doug is 100% comfortable with him. It just looks that way.
He threw him under the bus.
Yeah, and Doug is looking like he goes, listen, I did something with a guy who didn't have a pedigree. You know, a guy was a backup, a guy who was passed around in Nick Foles, and I can't reach this guy, and it probably frustrates
him. Exactly. Well, what he's saying is he's not that he can't reach him. I don't think he's listening to Doug. I think Foles actually listened to him, and they had more of a conversation.
Yeah, he had no choice but to listen to him.
But I think he's more dismissive of him.
I hear you. I got you.
I think he's more dismissive of the fact that now, could I say this?
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone is saying, I think they lose the next two games. Yeah.
You think they lose to Cincinnati?
Don't sleep on that. I don't sleep on that quarterback.
Yeah.
He said, I hate losing. He said, I'm not used to this. Don't. He's going to go out there.
Yeah, I guess he does hate losing. He picked the 2-1 but winningest college franchises. Well, yeah, he really stepped out.
I understand.
From Ohio State to LSU, yeah.
I know, but he can play.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not thinking they lose Cincinnati.
And then the Eagles play the NFC West. That's four losses.
I think they could be 1-5 in the first six. I agree. All right, man. Listen, you a good fellas, man.
No, Mike. I'm sorry.
What is going on today? This is impossible.
Well, you're fine.
I'll give you the scene I was going to give him.
Also, how does he know that Carson's a prima donna? Because I haven't heard that.
I think he meant he's not connecting with the head coach somehow. All right, you ready? Scene?
Yeah.
Here, give me the scene.
All right.
You might know who we are, but we know who you are.
Actually, don't know that.
What?
I don't know that one.
Wow.
No.
You might know who we are, but we know who you are.
No. Where is
man.
That?
Natalie?
Is that when they're in the bar?
Nope. They hijack the truck. They get the driver out. They get his license.
Oh.
You might know who we are, but we know, and he points the license at the guy, who you are. He's got the license. He's got his address.
All right. Yeah, I get it now, but no, that didn't...
didn't pop, huh?
No.
All right. That's good. That was a hard scene then.
Yeah, that was a difficult one.
All right. 610-632-0975 is how you climb in. Big 5 o'clock hour ahead. It's the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All righty, it's the 5 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, and the 5 o'clock hour, it is brought to us by Guided Door and Window, of course. Receive 20% off all windows and doors. No money down, up to 3 years to pay it off, interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDE, or visit GoGUIDA.com. Update in the Phillies game. They're down 5-1. More importantly, they've got two hits off of a right-handed pitcher named Austin Voth, who has toiled in the Nationals minor league system for like the last 7 years. He's had five starts this year as a Washington National after being called up. He has, in those five starts, only reached five innings once. He's got an ERA over 7, and he's 0-5. Today, he is two-hitting the Phillies.
You know what? If this is how it ends, this is how it ends. But there's got to be changes. There got to be changes.
If they do not make the playoffs, there is no way the general manager is going to or should come back. The whole system needs to be blown out.
And think about, this is the easiest year ever to make the playoffs.
Yep.
It'll never be this easy again. It's never been this easy before.
Yeah, and they might make the playoffs. They might hang in there. But if their ace gets beat today, now you're talking about, you know, Wheeler didn't deliver a win. Nola didn't deliver a win. Where are you going?
And now I think game two today is going to be a bullpen game.
Yeah, so now you see Shaky LaRue again today?
Yeah, you're going to have
yesterday,
to.
Yesterday, he didn't make out very well yesterday.
Shaky. No. This team stinks. And then I know Bryce is trying to suck it up, but he had the real good couple of games. On Sunday, they were in the playoffs. It falls on him as well if they don't make the playoffs. It would fall on Wentz. It would fall on Embiid or Simmons. Like, he has a responsibility to get them there, too.
Yeah.
By the way, it falls on all of them.
Do you know who's done? And we've overlooked it.
Who?
Jay Bruce.
Well, he was hurt.
Completely finished.
Yeah. I wonder if he came back too soon from the injury.
He's hitting 2-2. Hey, listen, he's an aging slugger whose bat's slowing down. He's hitting 212. And, you know, I said about McCutcheon, and he had a little bit of rally. McCutcheon's hitting 241. Yeah, you've seen the best days of him. All right, let's go, Dave in Center City. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave. Yo, Dave. Dave. Dave's not there? We lost him? All right. Sorry, Dave. Let's go to what is that? I can't read that name. Drexel Hill. Deer? Is this Deer? Who is this?
Iger.
Iger. Oh, okay. Iger. Go ahead, buddy. I'm sorry. I couldn't read the name. Iger. Yeah. Go ahead, bud.
Man, this Philly game is looking bad, man.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom of the sixth is down 5-1, and that's not a lot of time. You only got one more at bat.
Either striking out, popping out, or flying out. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is a bad one. When you got Nola losing, it's a bad one. They counted on this being a dub.
Yeah.
What else you got, bro?
Oh, that's it.
That was it?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate it. Let's go to Dave. Then we have Dave back with us. Dave, what's up, man?
Big day for the fearless leader as he tries to break Joey.
Oh, that's right. This is the record breaker.
This is it. But I got to get an Eagles point in. I just want to give you a hint.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to revisit the back-to-back 78-79 NBA Finals, Bullets and Sonics. Two players are going to come from their roster, and that will decide what you do. Mike. Look, we all wish the Eagles team of 3 years ago that went wire to wire is back again. But a funny thing happened along the way. Carson gets hurt. 9, 10, 11 other starters get hurt. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And or else we're looking at probably another Lombardi trophy, maybe three, okay? But listen, this is why Dougie Pete is the second best coach in the NFL. This is the reason. I'm tired of preaching this to the A team for the last 3 years running. Rams and Washington, you lucked out, because from November 17th through December 31st, the Eagles are unbeatable, even with third and fourth stringers. Not to mention, every NFC team that's scheduled to play them in the playoffs is scared beyond you know what.
Dude, you're tripping with this team. Seriously, I don't know how you're making up this kind of narrative. You're looking at this team right now thinking they're a good team?
Mike, how many games are in the season?
It's a lot of games, but let's go over the schedule for the next several, okay?
We don't have
to. Well, yes, you do. You're telling me they're going to – what? How many are they going to win at San Fran, at Pitt, and Baltimore? How many do they win?
Where?
Those next three after Cincinnati. How many do they win of those next three after Cincinnati?
Two out of three.
They win two of the three against those teams. I will take cash green money on that.
All right, let's have some fun. Get the streamers ready.
All right, this is now I'm at 55.
Yeah.
How many you're giving me the tying one and the winning one?
The tying one you should get. The winning run, the winning one most will not get, but you will.
All right, go ahead.
Freckled face guard from Seattle that we all wish he stayed at Seattle. Dennis Johnson.
Dennis Johnson is from Pepperdine.
We are tied.
Yes. This is the game winner.
Nicknamed Goldilocks. Step back. Swing behind the head. Undefensible jump shot. Jack Sikma
is from, I believe he's from the West. Let's see. Hold on a second. All right.
Negative.
I know what it is. I know. It's Illinois. Wait, hold a second. It's Illinois, not Eastern Illinois. Illinois Wesleyan! It's a winner! I beat Joe Dan's record! I took him down!
I love you, brother.
Joe D! Sorry, I'll be up to see you soon. And I'm going to have coffee with Marilyn when I get up there.
There you go.
That's a violation.
Marilyn, Joe's too old for you.
Well, you go back to your prime in heaven.
Oh,
so you got prime
you
Joe. Yeah.
Oh, well,
how do you know?
Well, that's the rule. You get to heaven. It's paradise. You're back to your prime.
I can't take in his prime then. I can't beat Joe in his prime.
Yeah, but she's not with him. So you ain't got the word.
I need to.
She's with John and Kennedy anyway.
Mr. Coffee Joe, where he's like.
Yeah, now you got your prime. You got prime Joe.
Oh, I'm out.
But he's also a busy man.
He might win her if you want her back.
It's the prime. I'm going to wrestle Marilyn away from JFK and Joe D?
Yeah, there you go. You could do it.
No, I'm out.
You know, it is till death do you part. There's tons of people who are married. You get up there, the rules change.
I got to put a Mickey in both their drinks, as they say.
You do. How the heck was Jack Sikma?
Illinois Wesleyan.
He was the eighth overall pick out of that school.
Wow.
Back then, how'd they scout him?
They saw something in him.
He was drafted in 77. How did they scout him?
That was a good scout.
6'11". I mean, he could shoot the ball. He's a little bit ahead of his time.
Play 3 minutes in today's game, but back then.
He couldn't shoot it, though. I was told he could shoot the ball, though.
He wasn't a spry shooter. He was a post shooter who put the ball over his head.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
He couldn't probably get to that spot in this day and age.
Nah. All right.
Since Dave didn't have the scene, I got to give you another scene now.
All right.
I settle down with a nice girl every night. Then I'm free the next morning. I want to be with you.
Oh, that's at the house. He's talking to his mother.
Why don't you get yourself a nice girl? Yeah. Why don't you get yourself a nice girl?
Yeah, they end up taking the meat cleaver. Mom, I got to take this with me.
It's a big knife.
Yeah, he ends up using it.
A big knife.
They poke him, and then they start shooting him even more.
Right. Mitch in Arizona. Mitch, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mitch.
My man, how you doing?
What's up, Mitch?
I know Tyrone told me not to call back till the third.
Yeah, Tyrone was had you on double secret probation.
Yeah, well, I didn't listen to him. How's the lady doing over there?
Natalie? She has a name.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has a name. Her name's Natalie.
It's me.
How's Natalie doing?
She's fantastic.
Okay. Natalie, what's your favorite sport?
My favorite sport? Yeah. I football.
Oh, I thought it was ice hockey.
She's a hockey person, too.
Yeah.
Probably,
I like
hockey
all
would probably be second to her.
No, baseball's kind of
second. Baseball is?
Yeah.
All right.
I like all the sports.
Good. You're they call that a four sports woman?
She's a sports woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to see Cam Newton and Julian Edelman?
No, I did not.
Oh, unbelievable. Cam Newton was the best I've seen him in at least 2-3 years.
Yeah, wow.
Edelman played out of his head. I think he had 165 receiving yards.
Edelman's a spunky player. He's spunky.
He's a stud. He's a stud. For his size, he's a strong...
And so I was watching that Cooper Kupp last week. He is too, man. He's like, he's got those like soft hands on that slant. You know, he just... I like players that can catch the ball on a slant and they're not worried about getting hit.
Yeah. Well, I know you don't want to talk about the Phillies, and neither do I, but I'm going to tell you what's going to change the Philadelphia Eagles. It won't be this year, but it's going to be next year, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Josh McDaniels is going to be your head coach. I don't care where they get a defensive coordinator. They can get him from Temple. I don't care. And you got to get rid of that general manager, but he's locked in to the owner, so I don't know if they're going to get rid of
him. The coach isn't going anywhere.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, okay. He's not going anywhere. They're in lockstep. They're in lockstep. This Jalen Hurts plan is in lockstep with everybody.
Okay. I like tasty cakes. They're very hard to come by out here. How about if we bet a box of chocolate juniors?
All right, you got it. All right. No problem. All right, let me ask you, you know Goodfellas?
Goodfellas? Yeah. Sure, it's my son's favorite movie.
All right, so I'm going to give you a line from Goodfellas. You got to tell me the scene.
All right. Yeah, right. Give me a different
movie. No, here it is. Here's the line. I know there are women, like my best friends, who would have gotten out of there the moment their boyfriend gave them a gun to hide. What's the scene? What's the scene?
I have no idea.
Oh, man, that's disappointing.
Good day, sir.
What's the scene?
Oh, that's after he pistol whips my man in the driveway and then walks back over, hands it to her. My man from the pool, the guy across the street, and then hands her the gun covered in blood.
She puts it in the milk thing there.
Yeah.
Like that's hiding it.
Well, she didn't have the ways of the street.
The front step. He walked over there, right? What did the nerdy guy say?
Afterwards when he said...
No, before. As he's walking over there to confront him, what did the nerdy guy say?
I don't remember. What did he say?
He says, "You want some, bleepo?"
Well, it didn't go well for him.
He called him bleepo.
All right, so let me ask Natalie this question then. What? Natalie, somebody does something, we hope this never happens, does something wrong to you.
Okay.
Whoever you're dating at that moment, your boyfriend, your significant other, your husband, etc.
Yeah.
Runs up on my man and doesn't shoot him, but in your honor, because he did violate you, pistol whips him, then hands you the gun.
Uh-huh.
What do you do?
Hide it. Right?
See? You would hide
it. Well, I'm asking you, what would you do?
So you would still, like, that wouldn't bother you as far as the relationship goes? It's the first time you knew that he had a gun and he, A, and B, that he would pistol whip a neighbor. So, like, that wouldn't shake you to the foundation?
I mean, I'd worry about that after the fact, but if the guy that just hurt me, I'd hide the gun.
So you kind of like it. It's like, well, yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, like, a woman, like, that's the ultimate macho thing, you're kind of digging it.
I mean,
you stand up for your honor. He just happened to pistol whip the dude with a 38. But other than that, it was a heroic thing he did.
Yeah. maybe I'm backwards. I don't know.
I'm 100% sure Elizabeth hides the gun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I have zero chance.
It
does,
hold it though. It does point out that your boyfriend, unbeknownst to you, is kind of a gangster.
Yeah. Right.
So you're still in. I'm just trying to take your temperature here.
I mean, yeah, I'm going to have his back if he's going to have mine.
All right. Well, he could have had yours in a different way. Like, he's just going to beat the guy up and not pistol whip him.
I suppose.
Could also call the cops, which they claim is the right thing to do. You call the police officer.
Well, I wouldn't have called the car. I would have gone over and fought the guy. And maybe I would have got my... I would have definitely been engaged in a fight. I'm not gangster enough to pull out a piece and pistol whip the dude, even though I would probably like to do that.
Those friends were solved. For this reason. The friends were solved. Because, remember, they got the trunk of the car is open. There's a tire iron. So when he goes, I'm saying it's three of y'all. I know he's got the gun. But when he starts busting my man, he's going to have to take that L. Because I can't stop him from busting you, pistol whipping you. But I'm going to catch him with that tire iron from behind. So you're going to be bloody and so is he. Dude. I'm not just going to stand there and let you just get destroyed facially when I got a tire iron in my hand.
There's 3 weeks suburban dudes wearing members only jackets.
They were. No. That's what I'm saying.
Gonna do.
They're soft. You got to get behind them and bust my man.
Long Island suburbs.
It's got to be a problem. Like, he's got to be hurt and your man is still going to have to take that beating because I'm not getting shot for you. But I will use the tire iron that's in my hand so that you don't get beaten as bad.
You know what she said? I got to admit. It kind of turned me on. Yeah. All right, let's go to Scott in Texas. Scott, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Mike, I'm tired of all the excuses we're making for Carson.
Yeah, I am too, bro. I got to be honest with you. This QB coach thing has got me up a wall.
Yeah, I can't stand McNabb. And I'm here to defend him because we did nothing but rip the dude.
Number five will always love you.
Yeah, and him and McNabb aren't even, they shouldn't even be in the same sentence. McNabb's 10 times the quarterback Carson's ever shown to be. Carson's had
That's not stretches. True!
He's had two good stretches, Tyrone. 1 month last year in 2017. In 5 years, he's had two good stretches, and that's it.
You can feel the way you want about Carson Wentz. I think that he really showed some great talent early in his career, and he has not shown that, at least in the first two games. And I agree with you that he should be beyond that, and I'm tired of the excuses. I agree. I don't think the coach did him any favors in game one. So we're kind of like, still on an even playing field here. I'm still trying to judge who from who.
And even like last week, they're trying to still blame the coach. I'm like, let's go over last week a little bit. We ran the ball over 100 yards, almost 5 yards a carry. The offensive line gave up no sacks. Aaron Donald was held to one tackle. And you're trying to tell me that it's the coach's fault?
No, not last week. It was not the coach's fault. Yeah. It was the coach's fault the first week.
Yeah, I can see I give a little bit more on some of those sacks and stuff with some of the play calling. Mm-hmm. But last week, it's like, this dude's got to get it going.
I agree. But see, this is what we're talking about. I think that they don't care if he gets it going because they got time to play with their big transition to the guy they drafted in the second round.
That kid's going to be good. I can almost guarantee when he gets in, that kid's going to be good.
Yeah, I have no idea. And I don't think you do either. How can you tell he's going to be good or not?
Just his makeup.
His makeup.
Human relations major, I can promise you, him and Alshon.
All right, well, whatever. We'll see. Now, are you a good fellas, man?
I've been so stressed about the Eagles, Mike, I can't even watch movies right now.
Well, listen, Goodfellas is 30 years old. I figured at one point you might have watched it.
The Eagles been stressing me out.
All right. Nobody wants a piece of this. So, Tom, I got to give it to you.
All right.
He's got a hero sandwich, you freaking moron.
All right. So they show up at the Metro Intelligence cop's house. I mean, they show up to him.
Metro cops
show up there. He gets out of there and he curses at the cops and he's holding the sandwich and the light flashes and they just empty the clip and both of them empty the clip.
I'll be doing paperwork for the next year. It's a hero sandwich.
I saw a light. Yeah, they showed up. That's what it's all going back.
It's not a hero sandwich.
No, it was a meatball sandwich.
Well, see, it's got to be a meatball sandwich because it was wrapped in foil.
Right.
You wouldn't wrap a hero sandwich would have been lunch meat. It had
that be in the paper. That be in the paper.
Exactly.
With the masking tape.
It had second level thinking.
That's right. It
had to be a heated sandwich.
That's right. And then the lights flashed off of it, exactly. And the cops unloaded.
It was a hero sandwich. It had been white paper.
By then, Nicky and them, it was over for them at that point.
Exactly. All right, let's go to Mark on a cell. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
But
Mark.
Isn't that Casino?
What, the hero sandwich?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it is the hero. Oh, wait a minute. Casino. Yeah, that's my bad. It was Casino.
I mean, I still got it.
Oh,
so
I screwed up. Go ahead, Mark. Mark, go ahead. You're on. Sorry. Mark. All right, Mark's not. We got a bad connect. Chuck in Boston. Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
Yo, Mike, what's happening?
What's up, Chuck?
You can ask me the hardest question you got on Goodfellas, and that had me too, Tyrone, because I'm like, wait a minute.
That was my bad. In fact, I'm going to give you two since you're Mr. Goodfellas. All right,
baby.
Go ahead.
All right, so I got, as far as the birds, I got Wentz 0-2, and I got the Eagles 1-1. Mm-hmm. And I totally disagree with you as far as the Hurts thing, because mm-hmm. I've got a good cousin who's watched that kid his whole college career, and he's
no one cares.
He's not in. Now, I know.
It doesn't really matter what you think or what your cousin thinks. And I mean that respectfully. It matters. It matters what they think. Right. They think that they got something wonderful. Now, you might not agree, and I don't agree until I see the kid, but I'm telling you, that's what they think.
Right.
So my theory is not wrong. I'm not judging Jalen Hurts. I'm telling you that that's what they think.
Yeah, I'm not sold on that. This is 0-2. It's early. Like let's get.
Well, let me ask you: why would they draft him with the second pick? Well, for what reason?
Because they think they're going to do 2.0 of what the guys in New Orleans.
They don't use the second round pick for that. That's an 7th round pick. They could do that with. The second pick in the draft. The second round pick. You don't draft that guy so you can be a gadget guy.
I agree with you on logical, but do we ever draft logical?
Well, I'm giving him a lot of credit here for foresight that they think that Hurts is going to be better in this kind of a league. But I can't believe they would be that just stupid to waste the second round pick on a guy that would help him marginally.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, they must think he's, mm-hmm. pretty amazing.
The head coach did a jump for joy when they drafted him. What does that tell you? That he was glad he got a gadget player?
No, but that's not Dougie's forte. I mean, Dougie's a leader of men.
He jumped for joy. He was ecstatic when they took Hurts.
Yeah. And game one was horrible. I mean, as bad as Wentz was both games, that's equivalent to how bad the coaching mm-hmm. was game one. I mean, that was horrible.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, just unbelievable.
All right, you ready? You ready?
I'm going to hold out.
You ready for your good film? Here it is. What's the movie where Bogart plays the cowboy?
It's the Cisco Kid.
That's not what he says. Kid? It's not the Cisco Kid. He says Shane. De Niro goes, Shane. He goes, Shane. It's the Oklahoma Kid. But what's the scene?
I'm the Oklahoma Kid.
All right, it's a scene with a sitting around playing cards. I'll give you that one, but that wasn't well answered. All right, are you ready? Here's the second one. Why are you bugging? You must think I'm dumb or something.
Oh, my God. Why are you bugging?
See? You talked a good game, but you don't have that one.
All right.
Sorry. You bet your guess on that, Tyrone. You got that with Natalie?
Lois, right? With her hat?
That is correct. Yes. Lois on the phone.
Yeah.
But Henry's giving her instructions.
I can't stand Lois.
He's yelling at her.
She makes my blood boil. Why does she need her stupid hat?
Henry says to keep stirring the sauce.
I can't deal with
things
her.
Things aren't going so well. When that stuff's happening, things aren't going so well. Henry's all paranoid.
That's correct.
I had one of the last interviews with him before he died.
You did?
In real life.
With Henry Hill?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Were you asking about that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Asked him about all kinds of stuff. He cursed a lot. But
did he?
It was a good interview.
Wow, about that.
Yeah. He died like 3 weeks later.
Is that right?
Yeah.
About that?
Yeah, it was a decent pull at the time. He was promoting, I think he had a book.
Yeah.
At the time. And I think also, I think he knew he wasn't well, so I think he was just trying to, he was doing interviews all over the place, but I was one of the last ones.
Yeah, that's interesting. Phillies lost final 5-1, game one.
So now this was an absolute must win in this second game.
Yeah, so you gotta get your bullpen going. The guy pitched a complete seven. both went seven innings and a three hitter.
His ERA was over seven.
His ERA was over seven. He was 0-5. Pitched a three hitter. Seven strikeouts. You give a home run score. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll take more of your calls till we get the sound off. Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Plug in.
Play on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you're more than a customer. You're family. Visit familyautos.com.
Farzetta in the morning.
In watching the Phillies last night, I started to go into that dark place. Did you see Mickey Moniak's throw? That's a number one overall pick. And then I just started progressing down the spiral of, oh my God, what does the next 5 years of Philadelphia sports really look like?
The Anthony Gargano Show.
I can't fathom that there is some sort of witch hunt for Wentz. I gotta be honest with you. That makes no sense to me. You supposedly have a franchise quarterback. I mean, he's a legitimate talent, but that makes no sense to me.
Mike Missinelli.
Yesterday, Doug Peterson, when asked about Carson Wentz, on why is it that you think he's regressed, said, that's a good question. In other words, he acknowledged that he's regressing. What coach on earth would do that unless there is something deeper behind the scenes?
Listen all day, every day to 97.5 The Fanatic.
The voice of the Philly sports fan.
All right, time for final Twitter poll numbers. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you're looking for a new mower, looking for other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com. Or give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup at their shop in Doylestown, PA. Natalie, how did the final numbers come out?
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,200 votes on this one today. Do you think there is a disconnect between Carson Wentz and Eagles management? 74% say yes, 26% say no. So people are feeling the...
All right. I wasn't trying to convince anybody. It's just my opinion. And it's pretty logical. All right, let's go... Sean and Fox Chase. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean?
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy. Yo. How you doing?
Yo. What's up, guy?
How you doing? All right.
Tell them that I said hello. I'm a Cardinal Doherty graduate.
All righty.
I grew up in Alney.
Mm-hmm.
That's, right next to Longford.
Yeah, I know Alney. Yeah.
Right
next to Longcrest.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. St. Williams, St. Helens.
St. Will, St. Hill. Mm-hmm.
All right. But I think that Doug Peterson needs to be fired.
You think he needs to be fired?
I think he's a total stunod.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
Well, he's not going to be fired. And like I said before, I don't think he's the shiniest car in the lot, but he's not going to be fired. In fact, they're in lockstep with him, I think.
Do you think he's
first of all, you're not going to fire a guy two games in, right? You know that. And he's not going to be fired this year in the middle of a year either.
You think he's an intelligent coach, or
I don't think he's no, I don't think he's that sharp.
Right.
But his teams don't quit on him, and he did win a Super Bowl. And so, for a sure period of time, he looked like he was a good coach. But I don't think he's very savvy on his feet during a game.
Yeah. All right. I got another question.
Yes, sir, Sean.
All right, Mike. Hockey players, why do they always grow beards when in the playoffs?
Well, because it's a tradition, and it makes you tougher. And, you know, they're scruffy. All right, let's go to Steve in Harleysville. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, Steve?
All right, so I think I got a little medicine for your witch hunt. To me, a witch hunt is when Green Bay drafts Jordan Love and doesn't even call Aaron Rodgers. That's a witch hunt. And the Cowboys not signing Dak Prescott to a contract, or Kirk Cousins not getting a contract and getting multiple franchise tags. I feel like we're just like panicking because we're 0-2. And another thing is, I just feel like it's no structure between the owner, the GM, and Doug, more so than Carson and Doug. I just feel like Jeff, our owner is just letting Andy Reid disciples run the asylum. Like, I just feel like, I don't want an offense coordinator. I'm going to make me my offense coordinator. And miscommunication on Rogan fired, and he didn't tell Howie. And making Press Taylor, who never coached a quarterback, who was a quality control guy, making him quarterback coach, which is messing up Carson Wentz's mechanics. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it's a more deeper issue than it's Doug and Wentz. I just feel like I think Doug is too stubborn to not call plays. I think he's a great coach. I still want him as our head coach, but I just want a new offensive coordinator. I swear.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would help, but I got to ask you this question because I don't know if my theory is correct or not. I think it's based on logic. Why would they draft Jalen Hurts?
Do you think they would draft Jalen Hurts if he didn't get hurt during the Seattle game? I think it's injury prone. I really think Doug really emphasizes on like that Taysom Hill kind of breeze kind of thing. You honestly think they're going to lose their job if they drafted Jalen Hurts? They're going to get fired regardless if it's not this year.
Yeah, they're not getting fired because it's all part of the plan, as Dan Fogelberg would say.
But if Jalen Hurts doesn't turn out, if he becomes the Redskins quarterback, they're going to get fired that year, because then you're showing the organization that like he's worse than Wentz. So
I don't understand what you just said. We don't know how good he's going to play. He may be good. Who knows? He's more in lockstep with what I think Howie likes now in the NFL, which is the kind of quarterback who's a little mobile, can make plays, you know, like, you know, with his feet, can do a lot of things. That's where the league's going.
Yeah, that's true. But I just feel like we're just like panicking over a little bit, and I just feel like David Carr and Gruden didn't get along. Gruden bad enough almost every game.
It's not, you're doing apples and oranges here. David Carr has nothing to do with it. What has to do with it is they drafted a guy. I asked, why would they draft that guy unless in their minds they say we're better off down the road with this guy than the guy we have? It's a really simple premise. It has nothing to do with David Carr. It has nothing to do with other teams. It has to do with what this team is doing.
I don't think people have fully grasped what you've been saying, even though you've been saying it for almost 4 hours.
Yeah, I mean, and the Aaron Rodgers thing doesn't apply either, because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's older. He's 37. So they're drafting a guy for the future. Like, in 2 years, that guy will take over, just like Aaron Rodgers took over. Like, that's not a slight on Aaron Rodgers. That's just back, you know, it may be a little slight in that they didn't add a weapon, but it does make more sense than drafting Jalen Hurts.
Right, and they drafted that quarterback thinking that they will make a transition.
Yes, same, it's all about a transition.
Same reason Eagles did.
Right.
Because they plan on making a transition.
Right.
It's the same reason.
But the transition to Green Bay plays itself out because the guy gets ready to retire.
Right. He's an older guy. And even if he doesn't retire, Green Bay has shown they'll show you the door. If he has to hop around late in his career, Green Bay's willing to let him, just like they let Favre, they'll let Rodgers do that at that point.
Yes. Avi in Michigan. What's up, Avi?
What's up, Mikey? I think you were mixed up with Derek Carr in Oakland or Las Vegas. David was his brother.
Yeah, the caller said it. I didn't say it.
Yeah, no, the caller.
Yeah.
But I
frankly, one car is the same as the other for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unless it's a Mercedes from my friends at Mercedes-Benz in Fort Washington, Westchester, and Atlantic City.
Okay, so I called last week. I asked if the Eagles are dead in the water. You didn't think so. But I believe your producer, Tyrone, asked why I wasn't watching football on Sunday, and it has nothing to do with politics. It's just I happen to work on Sunday over here. That's why I'm here. I'm going door knocking for the Donald Trump campaign, which is great. But do you think?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Knock yourself out. I hope you have you wear a red hat when you do that.
Nope.
You don't?
A lot of people out here supporting.
You should wear a red. You should wear a red hat. It'll make the
message. We're making America great again.
Yeah, I know. It'll pound in the message even harder if you wear the red hat. You do know that, right? I can't believe you don't wear a red hat. You're a fake Trump guy.
I know all of the. I know.
Yeah, but you're fake. You got to wear the red hat. What are we doing? No red hat. What's that about,
Mike? Why don't you like Trump? I know this.
I think he's great. I'm going to wear my red hat tonight.
Okay, sarcasm.
No, I'm going to wear the red hat, and that'll make me a racist and a xenophobe and a sexist and all that. As soon as I put that hat on, I transform myself. Guess what's next? Sound off right here on the Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. 97.5 The Fanatic. Time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same-Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's get going. Sound off.
All right, time for sound off. 610-771-9705. That's the sound off line. You got something to say, hit us up, leave us a message. We go throw them. And we put together a nice little situation with sound off, and maybe you make the cut.
I've been on this hill since day one. Jim Schwartz is a horrible defensive coordinator. I've been saying it for years. Somebody's got to take the blame for this. It's either going to be Jim Schwartz or it's going to be Howie Roseman. Either Howie's getting good players and Jim doesn't know what to do with them, or Howie's drafting bad players and Jim can't do nothing with them.
Well, listen, if this season turns out the way I think it's going to turn out, which is not good, Jimmy Schwartz is getting zippity-doo-dahed, but Howie ain't gone nowhere.
I watched the New England-Seattle game on Sunday night, and that was an NFL football quality game. What the Eagles are putting on the field doesn't even belong in the Canadian Football League. It's just atrocious. And somebody needs to be held accountable for that. I think we start with the owner and then the talent taker in the front office. Can't pick them.
Well, hold on to that thought, because we're going to replay your call if they're 1-5, which I think is a very strong possibility. And then, see, now at 0-2, there's still time.
You were mentioning the Big Ten with their 9-game schedule, 8 conference, 1 out of conference. Let's say Penn State does have a phenomenal year. They do go 9-0. They upset Ohio State. And they get put into the college football playoff. Are you going to be hyped for that like you would have if it happened in the last few years when it was normal?
Yeah. Sure. But I'm going to watch the games. They go undefeated, knock themselves out. Yeah, it's just like the Phillies. You know, all these seasons are kind of abbreviated. I had the same enthusiasm for a championship situation.
Yeah, I think that would be exciting. And Penn State has a real shot. Mm-hmm. Penn State has a real shot. They're on paper the second best team. There's no reason they can't pull an upset.
Yeah?
Penn State has a real shot.
Beat Ohio State?
They have a shot.
Okay.
They won't be favored. But they do have a shot. They're the only team in that conference that has a shot, by the way. They'll smoke Michigan. I'm talking about Ohio State. They'll smoke. Yeah. The only team with a shot is Penn State.
All right.
I keep going back to when you said we would have
multiple championships in this town by 2020.
I did not say that.
The Eagles threw us a bone. Now I'm thinking it's not going to be until 2030 until we win another championship. Like, what's going on? The Phillies are horrible. Klintak needs to go. Howie can't draft. Our hopes are the Flyers.
Yeah. Well, the Phillies thing kind of fell apart. I saw better things for them. And I did say there would be two champions, and I thought the Sixers would be that team, but that's not going to happen either. So, yeah, it's not a great time here. Flyers are looking up, and that's about it.
We feel bad for Carson because he's injury prone, and they drafted a quarterback. By the way, I thought it was a terrible idea that we drafted Jalen Hurts. So that's the side part. We feel bad that they drafted quarterbacks because we need a viable backup because the guy can't stand the field for 16 games. We feel bad for him because he's got a pass statue. Are we serious? This guy's off the tissue.
I could hardly hear what he was trying to say there, but I think it was anti-Wentz.
Yes.
Yeah, he's saying
he said
that
he's soft.
He's saying he's soft, and he's saying that drafting Hurts and having to walk by the statue is no big deal.
Yeah, it is, because it's disrespectful, and it's not a message to your quarterback that he's the guy that you want to lead the franchise.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying, what are you talking about? What about Steve Young and Joe Montana? As if Joe Montana didn't already have rings.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know.
I'm sick and tired of this head coach being the doofus that he is. You don't ever, ever in your life throw your quarterback under the bus. And he's subtly doing it to me, Mike. He's not overtly doing it right now. But that's going to come if this team gets worse. And trust me, it might get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, I agree. He is subtly doing it. That's part of the strategy. And subtly do it. And be passive-aggressive. And if somebody asks you about why he's regressed, you go, that's a good question.
You think Howie's in on this at all?
Of course he is.
Because it also keeps people from talking about his drafting and stuff.
Sure,
like they're ripping the quarterback.
Yeah, listen. These guys, they saw Jalen Hurts. They saw the league. They saw Lamar Jackson. They've always coveted Russell Wilson. They saw Deshaun Watson. They saw Kyler Murray. They go, I want to be that. Mommy, I want to be that.
I don't know if you ever noticed this, but in these post-game conferences, MVP's got a weird, like, tell. Whenever he's kind of, like, making up something or trying to make something sound good that was bad, he, like, rubs his hands together weird. And, of course, for this game, he did a lot of hand rubbing.
What was that? Who rubs his hands together weird?
He's saying that whenever Doug's lying, his tell is he rubs his hands
really?
Together.
Really?
That's what he's saying. I have never noticed that before.
Check that out. It's an Oreo cookie tell? Dougie with the hands together?
I need to see that.
Yeah, I never noticed
that
either.
I've never noticed it before.
Chick, chick, chick. He tricked me.
Zach who? Dallas what? Yo, Doug, you might want to tell them defensive backs to watch out for number 89. I think his name's Tyler Higbee.
Yeah, well, Nathan Gary was a safety in college, so they thought he'd be able to cover, interestingly enough, at linebacker. They work out too well.
Hey, Jim Schwartz, you better be blitzing this kid every down next game. Go, Birds.
Joe Burrow, I'm sure they probably blitzed him in the first couple of games, right? I would think that they I haven't watched.
All the
I saw him
have,
a little bit, but they
have blitzed them.
Yeah,
and that offensive line has not. He's been on the ground a lot.
Yeah, but he's also completed a lot of passes against the blitz. So it's not like he would fall apart. I don't know. Schwartz not a blitzing guy, so we'll see what happens.
You know, I'm completely amazed that Steve Sean Jackson can run as fast as he can. He's a fast running player, but it's despite the fact that he's got two hands that are bricks. I don't know how he runs so fast, because he sure can't catch.
Deshaun Jackson can't catch? What? What a way to end sound off. Yeah, sir, I think you're a little inaccurate. He can catch fine. All right, close it.
That's the best of the best today of sound off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What?
Because I don't like
Dave Brady. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
Oh, this was a fun day. And that was sound off. Tomorrow is General Knowledge Wednesday. We'll have more festive times. Stay tuned because Devon Gibbons will take you into the evening here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Everybody have a great rest of the night. Be safe out there and go Phils. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.